about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Y'all heard, take it from the top.
One, two.
My mic sound nice, check one. My mic sound nice, check two. My mic sound nice, check three. Are you ready?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Well, it's Wednesday. It's the day that was Wednesday. Who gets excited on a Wednesday? These guys do.
I'm sure there's plenty of quality people who would love to have sex with what you got going on and not murder you.
You were listening to what was going on. The one in particular, he was early. Then you had three others. That probably a similar deal a little bit later, but a similar kind of a thing.
And now.
Everyone's worrying, and it's a mess. It's America Corporation. Hey, at least we're alive.
Our feature presentation.
I mean, we do have that. Mm-hmm. He's right. At least we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning. It is the 22nd of May.
What's up, Thin Mints?
Better than yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Better than yesterday.
All right. Let it sit with you for a minute.
Okay.
Hey, Allie, how was James listening?
He did good.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Wow, what a setup.
Understandable, understandable.
Quick
yeah.
segment.
What a
yeah.
setup.
I went too long.
Yeah.
You
did.
We don't need all the details. Just want to know if he won or not. That's
he,
all.
He did.
He won. Okay. What's everybody else up to?
You know, hanging and begging like we do.
Right?
I have a sneeze waiting.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
It's the worst feeling. Looking at the light, trying to get it out.
Is your sneeze super aggressive, like the one I did randomly out of nowhere right into the mic? Or is it cute, like kind of like you stepped on a duck like beans?
Well,
there's
sorry.
Beans.
I could That's never beans. Even pretend that it will sound like beans.
That's too so bad.
I lean more towards sneeze.
I feel like if you can't reach that level that Bean has reached,
right?
Don't sneeze.
Why even attempt?
Right.
Yeah.
Dumb question. I am not a medical doctor. I know some of
what?
You are.
What? But, this is awful news.
What causes sneezes?
I have no idea. I was going to make something up. Everyone's looking at me like I really know the answer, and then I realized I should not answer.
You actually had the composure of somebody
yeah,
who was
no,
actually
I,
going to fill us
I
in.
I was
going to
go, well, and then I went, no, this isn't worth it.
you're also the Jewish guy, too, so I just right. assumed you, at some point you got a degree.
Oh, I know. Thought you were going to say because I have a big nose.
No.
Okay. I was going to say because you Googled it because you're super anxious about sneezing.
I probably am.
Lot of stereotypes.
I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know what we get from sneezes. People are Same. Yelling at their radio. Because they definitely know.
Oh, no, this is a great start.
I know when it's like a little dusty somewhere, I immediately sneeze. So it has to have something to do with like
What's
the little tickles in the air. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a compulsive. Okay, can I read this real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
A sneeze is a semi-autonomous convulsive expulsion of air from the lungs through the nose and mouth, usually caused by foreign particles irritating the nasal mucosa.
Right, yeah, so it's irritation of the mucous membranes in the nose or throat. So anything gets in there and you're like, yeah.
Pushing it out.
Sorry.
There he is again.
So, in other words, something in
we
the air.
We can't possibly have more questions on this.
I'm just making sure.
Yes, something Look. In the air annoys your nose.
Sneezes, what's up?
What the hell? How many more questions do you have?
That's a Pomeranian sneeze, by the way.
Which I also love.
A lot of noise from a little animal.
It is. Look, as I say, Kevin, I am a curious person.
Right, but
who
they
likes
just
to learn things as I go.
Right.
That's all.
And they read the entire thing. Both of them read what it is. And
yeah,
then you had
the first
follow
ups. It was the first sentence. I thought there might be more to it than that. I just want to make sure I clearly understand. That's all.
Well, look it up.
God. Well, we were talking.
None of this helps that I have one in the chamber.
I mean,
okay.
I think it does.
All right.
You think it'll? I'm going to do the thing now. Do you think that the sneeze will come during the thing, or do you think it'll wait until after?
If it does, I'll celebrate it.
Please do. Yeah, do not.
Don't push the mute button.
No, I won't.
Okay. Yeah. We want to hear it.
Sorry.
Allie, I know that you consider yourself an old maid and are unlikely to ever find
all.
Love.
I don't at all.
She
and
doesn't
it's
think
something
that at all.
That really annoys
She's so
me.
So sad and lonely.
Like that drop on the show that you guys play it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really annoys me.
Okay, you're
And I'm not kidding though.
Okay.
And I brought it up before and you guys still do it.
So you won't find love. So here's my point.
So still again.
Christopher, I'm telling you, this is good news because mm-hmm. I think I have found your man. I think I have found the perfect guy that you have been waiting for.
Haven't been waiting.
Allie's been doing pretty well without a man, I'm going to say.
Damn it. It's not annoying at all.
Because she hasn't met Christopher Fitzgibbons, who lives in Limerick, Ireland. Tell me this guy doesn't already sound perfect for you. Limerick, Ireland. All right. Here's the deal. He's 23 years old. He spent about $3,800 to lower his Volkswagen Passat so that the car now only has 4 inches of ground clearance.
Yes.
And as a result of doing this, he can no longer take his usual route to work through the village of Galbally in Limerick, Ireland, because the village has installed speed bumps on various roads in town. So he can't drive over them anymore because his car is too low. All right? He's now suing the city because of it.
Because of the speed bumps? And he can't...
Because he has had to remap his route to work. He told the Daily Mail because of the rerouting, that's an extra 30 miles a day, 150 miles a week, 600 miles a month, 7,000 miles a year, all because the speed bumps are too high for my car. He also claims to have incurred around $2,500 worth of damage to his Passat by driving over the speed bumps, and he wants the village to pay for it.
Yeah, he sounds great, Bean.
He's a fine. He's a real fine.
I mean, what are you even doing today?
What are you doing today?
How is that person a catch?
I don't know, because he lives in Ireland. I thought you'd be down. That's all. You like Irish boys, right?
I hate you right now.
What happened to all of us who now think, oh, I don't like Game of Thrones, so I'm going to ask them to remake it for me.
Uh-huh.
I lowered my car and I don't like the speed bumps, so I'm going to sue to get those taken away for me.
Insane.
He described his interaction with the village's road engineer like this. I complained about the first one for about 6 weeks, and they basically responded to me with two fingers up and put four more ramps down in February. I went to the council office where the road engineer is based. I got nothing back but physical and verbal abuse and intimidation.
Physical abuse. Really?
The road engineer was so mad at me.
I hate everything about him and the fact that that was how he started the story. You're going to love him,
how is
boy.
This a candidate to date anyone?
Is your dusty V going to wet right up?
He was getting the physical abuse, by the way. He wasn't meeting it out. He was the recipient end.
Chip just said
I'm just trying to process what Alex just said. All right, go ahead.
The road engineer was so mad at me and kept pushing me, telling me I had no effing right to be here, and who the F was I to complain? By the way, I like how they do business in Ireland because we're way too nice in this country. So anyway, he feels discriminated against and he says, look, I was just trying to make my Passat look fresh and this cool, uncaring, discriminatory town deliberately chose to build speed bumps knowing full well that it would prevent my fresh Passat from driving over them because they were all jealous of how fresh my sedan was.
Yes.
It's got to be.
Did he really say fresh that many times in that many sentences?
No. This is truly a swipe right.
Awesome.
So he feels discriminated against because of his modified car. All right, I'm going to put him in the file of not right for Allie then. Mm-hmm. I misread this situation. Mm-hmm. And we can let him go.
All right.
Okay. All right.
We'll take him out of the hopper.
He's in the hopper?
He was in the hopper.
Okay.
Right. Not anymore.
It's not out. It's not coming
what
out.
What the hell?
No, I'm pushing it, but it's not. It's. I'm going to sit with this all day.
I think you're lying to us.
The itch in the nose.
Yeah, that tickle, and you're here it comes, and it never does. Yeah.
Anyway, you going to date that dude or what?
Kind of like a man. Just, you wait for it and just never appears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just doing
the bit.
The bit right. With Bean.
Jumping in.
Having fun with the old philosopher.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
That can horn you up.
Oh. I'm always happy that we're not on the air before 6, so people don't have to hear that.
This is why we do the run-through, you guys. This is what the whole point of this half hour is.
If that's the case, then when we start, it's going to be completely different. Because
it's going to be great.
Because no one likes
new
that.
Show. New
it's
show.
It's going to be terrific.
I'll have already sneezed.
Actor David Tennant will join us in studio.
Wow.
Big
He's
name.
How about that? Mm-hmm. He is the best. I slept next to my dead wife.
Oh, Kevin. Congratulations.
Not me, but I mean, there's a story that I'm going to introduce you to.
You worded
it
that
sounded,
real
nope,
weird.
Nope. It sounded like you said it.
Nope.
And you said I.
The guy said, I slept next to my dead wife.
Oh. Yeah, there was no the guy said at the beginning.
Right. Okay.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Right. Oh. Okay. Jensen's top 5 music movies.
Mm-hmm. We've really stretched this one.
We really have. Mm-hmm. We've got your passes for Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Fantastic.
And you don't want to be a horse at Santa Anita.
No, you don't.
No, no.
It's coming up this morning. We will take... 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Let's find out what the hell is going on. Allie's here with What's Happening.
You know, when you're driving and you're listening to certain music, it kind of affects your driving style.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to some mellow tunes. You're just kind of driving mellow. Maybe something a little more aggressive. You're driving a bit quicker.
Sure.
Well, that happened to one driver who tweeted, "Driving home from Penn State, I got pulled over and given a ticket for the first time ever. And when asked why I was going 99 in a 70, I was dangerously close to admitting that I was banging out to Halsey's new song, Nightmare." So Halsey saw the tweet.
That's pretty sweet. What?
Halsey saw the tweet.
Okay.
Wrote back, "What's your Venmo? I'll pay your ticket. Drive safely, please."
How cool is that?
How awesome is that?
Halsey's a cool one.
Wow.
She's cool.
That's awesome.
Do you think I could send her my tickets?
Yeah.
I think if it's just every single one, it's a different song.
I was listening to Halsey.
Right?
Yeah.
Then like a love song, you're like, I was driving slow, real emotional, listening to Halsey.
I mean, I think it's a great plan to abuse the kindness of somebody who did a nice thing.
That's what I thought, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? Let's ruin it.
Wow. All right. So no. Beans
well,
and no.
Beans and no.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought that's what we were all saying. Yes. Okay.
It's a sweet thing that the lady did. Let's
too late. She just paid my mortgage.
She did?
Yeah. I just got
that
the alert.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
She is a giver, you guys. Hey, you know what's fun? Mom shaming, right? Who's
I agree.
With me?
Mm-hmm.
If you can say something to a woman that's either pregnant or recently had her baby, you know, when she's really wants to hear your opinion.
Mm.
We have that. We have a story just like that coming up next hour.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, this one involves Amy Schumer. She had her first mom shaming event, and boy, was she excited. She actually tweeted out, "I've always wanted to be mom shamed." So Amy Schumer welcomed her baby Jean with her husband Chris Fisher on May the 5th, and she returned to stand up on Monday night. And predictably, people thought it was way too soon for Amy Schumer. Already? That's insane and inhumane. Contract or not, you need to be allowed at least 6 weeks for maternity. Like she was being brought up, like chained to do this set. Like, come on.
Like she left her baby at one of the tables.
Absolutely. Just laid him on
drink
there.
Drink minimum, yeah.
I think she's voluntarily choosing to work.
Agreed. Also, I knew about her doing comedy because Danielle saw it on Instagram mm-hmm. and was inspired by it.
See?
She was. She was like, look, that's really cool to see she's out there so soon doing things.
Absolutely.
You know what else is fun, Allie?
What? Hey, kids. Spelling is fun. Oh, wow. Really? Really? Just because I said the word fun, you brought up the dumbest ever lyric in a Taylor Swift song?
Because spelling is fun, kids.
I don't think that's what we're saying. Hey, kids. Spelling is
fun. That's really Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
And Brendan Urie.
Yeah.
That's just embarrassing.
In the middle of the song, just what? What just happened? Why? Okay.
Because you can't spell awesome without me or something. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to it.
A lyric like that?
Big fan over there.
Yes.
I have to say, usually celebrities aren't as forthcoming with the truth about things. Like they'll say, oh, I had to cancel some shows. Exhaustion. You know, I couldn't do it. That type of thing. Not Cardi B. She's like, no, I had too much plastic surgery. I'm not ready to come back.
Is that right? Wow.
So she canceled the rest of her concerts this month as a result of her recent lipo. Damn it! She said she'll be back on the stage in June, which I kind of like. She's like, listen, I thought I could be back, but this stuff hurts. Okay. I don't know. Okay. So, okay. She also said not only did she get lipo following her daughter Culture's birth, but she got her breasts redone. And she said, I shouldn't really be performing because moving too much is going to F up my lipo. And I mean, she's right.
That's crazy.
She's right. But wouldn't you, like, everyone else would be like, I didn't get anything done.
Right.
No, I'm just
talking
taking
about?
Time mm-hmm. off to be with my daughter. No.
Is there a realer, I genuinely don't think so, a realer celebrity ever?
The Cardi B?
No, she lets it all hang out there, man.
It's just all very genuine. Yeah. Hard to hate it.
No.
Are you saying no?
No, it's not hard. I can do it.
By the way, Bean could pick up those dates for her in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he could.
Right?
Bean, you want to spit out a little Cardi B for us?
No, I don't. Mm. But Balenciaga.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
See?
Right? That's what I remember from that song.
Mm-hmm. One word?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I am a huge fan of hers, though.
She's great.
I really do love her.
You know what made me like her even more? When she started to get political on Twitter and people got mad at her, and her high school AP history teacher jumped on Twitter and was like, I dare you to question her about government. Being like, she's one of my top students
wow.
ever.
Really?
Regarding president. Because she knows every president. Like, she's a big, she's like a politics person, weirdly.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it was a very cool moment where I was like, see, idiots? You think you know someone.
I will tell you this right now. My AP history teacher would be like, I have no idea how she was in this class. And I know she took it so she wouldn't have to take it in college.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't great. I think that's what my teacher would say. And I'd say, Mr. Telesca, thank you. God, I wonder if he's still there. Shout
he's
out.
Probably
Louisville
dead.
High School. No.
Based on years, yeah.
No.
Well, yeah.
Based on years? How old do you think I am?
No, I know. I'm saying I think most of my teachers are dead, too. Because they were in their 40s and 50s mostly, right?
Right, but that doesn't make them dead.
Well, they're dead to me. I'm saying, like, you
that's
know.
That's valid.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, how about your math teacher? You think he or she remembers you?
100% Mrs.
Really?
Bennett remembers me because it was painful for that woman, but she did it with just like such a smile, like, I don't understand why you're not getting this. It was painful for that woman. I apologize, Mrs. Bennett. You were such a delight.
She did what she could.
Oh,
probably dead.
God. I don't think she's dead.
Most of our teachers are dead.
All right. I mean, let us know, anyone at Louisville High
funny.
School.
No? It is funny when you're in junior high or high school, you think your teachers are so old.
Yeah.
And then you realize, Kevin, as I'm sure you did once you had kids,
sure.
that they're like 30.
Right.
I remember thinking that 30 was old as hell.
Yeah.
Of course.
When I was
a
kid.
Yeah, I remember we had a first-year Spanish teacher, and in my head, he was young, which was like 40. You know, oh, he's young. You know, he's young for a teacher. I look back, I think he was like 26, 25.
Isn't that crazy?
He was a child.
I wound up tweeting the other day about when I was young, probably like 8 or 9, an old man who I thought, like, he's in his 80s, obviously, told me something about my freckles. And he said, a girl without freckles is like a night without stars. And I was like, easy, creeper old dude. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, that dude was probably in his 30s or 40s. Also creepy,
yeah,
though.
Doesn't,
like, I'm
doesn't
not,
change the creepy
I'm not
part.
Changing the creepy factor. But wow, it's true. We really, like right now, a little kid would think, that chick is so old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Your perspective changes for
sure.
By the way, that's a very sweet thing that man said to you.
Yeah, I think so, too.
About the freckles.
Was it creepy, though?
He had his hand.
What? Huh? Okay, never mind.
What?
Happy birthday, Naomi Campbell, Jennifer Goodwin, Maggie Q, Morrissey, and Daniel Bryan. Is there a bigger difference of human beings, Morrissey and Daniel Bryan?
Yes.
Godzilla tickets for the King of the Monsters movie on the program next hour as well. We'll be talking to a reporter from the LA Times about the tragedy that has been befell the horses at Santa Anita in the last 6 months. What
horses
the
are dying, basically.
That's the point.
It's
what
awful.
The hell is it is awful.
And I'm going to say, I don't think it's getting enough press attention. Is that
I agree.
Weird? Like,
I
it
agree.
Should be a top. It should be the only story we're
it
talking
does
about
seem
locally.
Like it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, apparently, Kevin slept next to his dead wife. I mean, that's how he explained
no,
it.
No. It's a different person altogether.
A real true confession this morning.
It wasn't your dead wife. It was someone else.
No, it wasn't me.
Someone else's dead wife?
It wasn't me.
No, Kevin. What have you gotten into?
The headline of the article was I slept next to my dead wife by a
did you write it
by a different guy who slept next to his dead wife after of course she
all
died.
Of that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. First though, let's revisit a topic that we have done the last 2 days in a row at this time. Mm-hmm. Allie kind of brought it up after she saw what film was it that was showing
Rocket Man that
nope.
is oh
nope the thing that was at the Wiltern or something in
oh.
Revival
oh yeah the Doors movie
the
is
Doors
gonna be
movie
at the Wiltern.
That's what started it. And mm-hmm. then we started talking about biopics and music movies and stuff like that, and she gave her top five. Yesterday I gave my top five. Today it's Jensen's turn.
That's right. I'm very excited for this because I think we thought we were all gonna have similar movies on our list.
Yeah.
Only have one real repeat.
Is that right?
That's true.
You mean Almost Famous is not in your top five?
No.
Then get the hell out of here.
Gee, well, number one, that's mean. Two, let me get through my numbers, then I'll leave.
All right.
Okay.
Number five is a 2004 movie that I don't think enough people have seen called Frank. Have you guys seen it?
I've not.
It stars Michael Fassbender, but you wouldn't know it because the entire movie he's wearing a huge, giant human paper mache head.
That's the one. Yes,
oh,
I remember that.
Oh, I do remember that.
Guys, it's great, and no one saw it, which is always confusing to
wow.
me. He's the lead singer of the band. His name's Domhnall Gleeson, right? Dom.
Oh, uh-huh.
I think I'm saying it right. He plays a songwriter and he's added into the band. And from that point on, it's just sort of like this chaotic trip through a band trying to blow up at South by Southwest and the inner dynamics of it. And it's really like a touching tale of trying to become an artist. It's great. And this is one of the songs in the movie. They all play their own music and Michael Fassbender sings.
El Madrid, it's nice to see you. It's really nice to be here. Stale beer, fat blood, smoked out cowboat, sequined mountain ladies. I love your walls. Put your arms around me.
You didn't get a record deal, right?
Well, I mean, you have to see how it plays out. But I like it. They all play their own. I mean, they all play their own instruments. It's just a good movie.
Okay.
Why does he wear a paper mache head on his?
Never fully explained, other than the idea that he's eccentric.
I love that.
And he can't, you know, really face an audience. That it's sort of told, but never directly said, like, I wear this because.
He's gotcha. Sia.
He is, yes. Yeah, very much so. Okay, so my fourth one is a movie out of Ireland. It stars Glenn Hansard and Marketa Irglova, and it's called Once.
Yeah, that was in my top 10, too.
It's called Once.
Once.
It is so good. It was a hit play as well. But it's maybe the greatest soundtrack of the past 20 years, possibly. It's won an Oscar for it. After two struggling, they basically follow two struggling musicians who fall in love. They weave in and out of songs throughout it. So it's a musical to an extent. Because I followed the rules and I didn't say, like, just because there's music in a movie.
Sure. Right. Some people follow the rules, some don't.
I try to do it just when it's about a musician, as was said in the email. Okay, so.
Emails,
yeah. The cool part about this, too, is that they dated in real life after they filmed the movie and went on a press tour.
Is that right?
Sadly, they broke up.
No.
But it's
she was very young for Glenn Hansard.
Was she?
Just saying.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's fine.
I mean, in the movie, they seem kind of similarly aged. But also, I thought that teacher was 40 years old. He's 26
true,
when I was
true.
A kid. This is a song from it. It's a great movie.
Take this sinking boat and port it home. We've still got time.
Come on.
Raise your hopeful voice.
Ali was
lip. Have no choice.
It's like one of the greatest soundtracks ever.
Ali was lip syncing and doing the movements.
My friend Steve won the Tony playing him on Broadway.
Same.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And the movie's like barely, it's like there's no budget in it.
No,
they film it from like afar. It's
the whole
great.
Vacuum cleaner scene.
It's very good.
It's a delight.
My number three is Spinal Tap. We've heard enough about that. Number two, I can't believe this wasn't on anyone else's list. It might be one of my favorite movies ever. Written, directed by Damien Chazelle before he made La La Land, which I hate despite being a white person. This is a movie called Whiplash, and it's unbelievably good.
Oh, is that one where that guy just abuses the kid?
The drummer, yeah.
Came out in 2014. Stars Miles Teller, aspiring jazz drumming student. One of the best villainous portrayals, I think, by J.K. Simmons?
Mm-hmm.
Simmons. He plays a college professor. That got him an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
So good.
106 minutes. That's in my wheelhouse.
That's key.
That's in my wheelhouse. It also, for me, it takes a look at like what happens when someone wants to be the best in their field, whether it's like Tiger Woods or Kobe Bryant or whoever, like that has like given up their whole life in order to be the best. Let's listen to a clip. This is JK. He walks in on the student, Miles Teller, playing drums, practicing. This is what leads to the audition to join the prestigious school jazz band.
What's your name?
Andrew Naaman, sir.
What year are you?
I'm a first year.
You know who I am?
Yes, sir.
So you know I'm looking for players?
Yes, sir.
Then why did you stop playing? Did I ask you to start playing again? I asked why you stopped playing, and your version of an answer was to turn into a wind-up monkey.
It's great. I love that movie.
That's a tough room right there.
That's a great movie, though.
My number one, just play it.
Something takes a part of me. You and I weren't meant to be. Aren't cheap for me to lay. Something takes a part of me.
I wish it was really A Star Is Corn, but it's A Star Is Born, the apple of my eye. Released last year, starring Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga, about an emerging singer who partners up with her lover, a legendary yet alcoholic singer-songwriter who helps her climb to the top of the charts, but yet finds himself at the lowest of the lows.
You picked it just so you could play A Star Is Corn. You had to. There's no way this is your number one
movie. I think I agree.
There's no possible way.
So you
because
think that
this
I think...
movie was... fine. It is not the best, and it is not the best of this genre. You did it to play A Star Is Born. Admit it, sir.
So you're saying that you think that I don't think Star Is Born is better than Almost Famous?
Absolutely.
Correct.
You don't think it's better than any of those?
All right, I did it to play the song.
Boy, I feel like there's never been a more appropriate time to talk about womb shaming than in America in May of 2019. I mean, men have a lot of opinions on how women should be handling their business, don't they?
They do, but also I have found, just from my friends who have been pregnant, women are the ones that are doing the womb shaming with with pregnant women. Yeah.
What's happening with people?
People just know better.
Have your opinion and go ahead and keep it to yourself and live that way.
You'd think.
Allie did a story a little while ago about Amy Schumer, people having a lot of thoughts on whether she should be back up on stage telling jokes because she recently had a baby. Really? Amy's old enough. I think she can make that decision on her own.
Now she's too old.
The word was inhuman. Was it not?
It's inhumane that you are up there on the stage while you just had a baby May 5th.
Yeah, I feel like she could arrange for childcare to step out for 45 minutes if she cared to it. It's okay.
Right.
Well, here's a story that comes to us out of the Mirror newspaper in the UK. Woman steps in after mum-to-be is womb-shamed by Starbucks barista over order. So this lady walks into a Starbucks to get herself a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Tiffany Stevenson. And she said an unbelievable bit of... Tiffany Stevenson is the woman who saw the encounter. An unbelievable bit of womb bothering in Starbucks. A pregnant woman got her caramel macchiato, and the guy behind the counter said, "Oh, it's for you? Do you want me to make it a decaf?" And she said, "No, thanks. Him. No, I should, because caffeine is bad for the baby." Her. "It's fine. I have one a day." And that, by the way, should have been the end of it.
She shouldn't even have to say that.
I don't think it ever should have started.
I agree. Yeah. I 100%
agree. But if it does, you're right.
Now he's made his, he's protested, and she said, "I've got this. It's fine. I have one a day." This is where he goes, capital letter dick, all right? Mm-hmm. "But you shouldn't," he says. Again, he's a Starbucks barista, by the way. I don't think he has a medical degree.
Oh, you don't think he's an OBGYN that just does Starbucks for the benefits?
Yeah. So the lady at Tiffany, who's sharing the story, she says, "Me, almost spontaneously combusting. Are you a man telling a woman what she should and shouldn't have during pregnancy?" And then the barista says, "Oh, just because it's bad for the baby. That's why I'm saying it." "Me. Unbelievable. Stop it." So she stepped in on behalf of the pregnant lady. Mm-hmm. Tiffany then added that the barista spent 5 more minutes trying to justify policing a stranger. And she says he was around 30 years old. Oh, are they doing OBGYN training at Starbucks these days? And by the way, in case you're curious, according to the NHS, pregnant women can have up to 200 milligrams of caffeine a day, which is about 2 cups of coffee a day. So it's completely fine and completely within normal health restrictions for a mom. But the point is, why did this guy, why is he dipping in?
Why is a great question. I don't understand it.
Mm-mm.
I really
don't. Know, you've heard mansplaining your whole life. You've talked about it on the show. Why does this guy think he has the right to tell this lady what to do with herself and her baby?
I don't understand the entitlement of somebody thinking that they know better, especially someone that I'm going to take a guess he has never carried a child. But between this and if you've ever been pregnant or know a woman that's been pregnant, they have been inundated with questions that are nobody's business.
Yeah.
Things like, are you going to breastfeed? I'm sorry, this is an Arby's. I just want to get a meal. It's just, it's insane to me that people feel that they have this right to tell you how to live your life like that.
That is the extra step. Like, everybody has their opinion. Okay. But the insane step is, I'm going to talk to you about your decision, and
right.
I'm going to tell you why I know better than you.
It's well, cuckoo.
I have an 8-month pregnant wife
mm-hmm.
who is, we've been very lucky in a sense that no one has done that to us at
wow.
all. Like, no one is, the only thing that happened is that this last weekend, Danielle went into a bathroom to go pee or whatever. And as she was walking out, a woman goes, oh my God, you're so pregnant. And then she touched the belly. Which is, number one,
a stranger
in a bathroom.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, it's not a good place. But we've been very lucky. Like, obviously, when we first got pregnant, we talked to them and they said one Starbucks coffee is mm-hmm. the amount of that caffeine, 2 a day if you make your own. Mm-hmm. Our doctor even said to us, go ahead and eat 3, you could have 3 tuna rolls, mm-hmm. basically hand rolls, in a week of sushi. Because people think you can't eat sushi either. So, I think it's just crazy to me that people think they know what's going on when in real life we're the ones going to the doctor and learning
right.
sushi is okay, or, you know, a certain type of cheese is good, another one isn't. You know, pasteurized is mm-hmm. a huge deal. So I just think it's funny that people would consider themselves experts when, like, until the day I went to the doctor, I would have thought all that stuff was off limits.
And right, sure. it's constantly changing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, always changing.
When we were little, yeah, maybe some of our moms imbibed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then it turned
maybe
out...
a lot,
and then
in my
it,
case.
Yeah.
No, oh, I'm just kidding.
Then
you
weren't supposed to have anything, and now it's, okay, no, you can have a glass of wine. Then it's constantly changing.
That way with lunch meats. So, like, for a long time, like, processed lunch meats mm-hmm. were, like, this terrible thing you can't have in pregnancy. So when we talked to our doctor, they were like, honestly, you can get sick from anything, guys. I mean, like, don't, like, that's no different than anything else. Just be safe with where you're eating it. Don't get it off, like, a food cart in Tijuana.
That's a good tip, probably.
Yeah. So, but it's like, yeah, like you said, it just changes all the time. Why would anyone pretend to be an expert unless you mm-hmm. went to school for it?
All right. I do have one question that I think may change our opinion on this, though. Maybe not. What happens if you see a pregnant lady smoking? What do you do then?
That is a good question.
My mom smoked.
My mom smoked, too.
But I don't understand. Through your pregnancy?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the whole pregnancy?
Yep.
She says she stopped. She didn't. I guarantee half the people listening right now are like, yeah, my mom smoked.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know that people, like, you don't know you're pregnant sometimes mm-hmm. for 4 to 5
people,
months. Or
people yeah. of a certain age, their parents were of the age where everybody smoked all the time. People smoked on planes. People yeah. smoked mm-hmm. in operating
movie
rooms.
Movie theaters.
Yeah, everything. What would you do?
My answer is the same.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Keep it to yourself. It's none of your business.
I think I would quietly judge. But
of course.
Yeah.
Quietly.
I don't...
You don't speak up. You're not going to...
But what are you going to do? Like, it's not like they have something on the top of their car and they're about to drive off. Like, it's not like you can help them by being
right.
like, hold on.
Right.
Like they know
Did
they're
you
pregnant.
Know smoking yeah. is bad?
They know, they're doing, they know they're doing something harmful to their baby, really.
That feels to me like...
Child abuse?
It does. Yeah. It feels like child abuse because there's no way that will ever be good for the baby, ever, 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 in even limited doses,
yeah.
right? I mean,
right.
That's a disaster.
Even if you take the stance of I need to say something,
see something, say something.
That person isn't going to change.
No,
because already knows. Say something. That person
so
already knows.
You're just doing it for yourself.
Yes.
It would
yeah.
be funny if
Keep
she
your
if
mouth
you
shut.
Go, you oh, ma'am, you know you're smoking. I am. Oh God! And she just throws her
right?
cigarette down
she
and
no
stomps
idea.
It up. What?
So you don't think she's capable of being womb shamed? That woman, the smoking lady, isn't capable of.
No, I don't.
Of taking
I mean,
advice.
Clearly,
from
I don't
a
think
stranger.
She cares.
It's a true
yeah.
decision. Yeah,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
a real thing.
Well, just to close, one of the comments on the story in the Mirror says, I am currently pregnant, and if someone tried to take my coffee a day away, I'd punch them in the face. None of his business. Love you for sticking up for her. I think
love that song. Silver Sun Pickups, and It Doesn't Matter Why on the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
And such nice kids, too, by the way.
Agreed.
Just had them on the show a couple of weeks ago. They performed live. They were outstanding. You can see them on June 8th at the K-Rock Winnie Rose Luau and Beach Party at Doheny State Beach, along with the Lumineers and the Revivalists and Ex-Ambassadors and more. Again, get your details at K-Rock.com. We've got tickets you can win coming up. Allie's here now. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Wednesday.
Guys, Memorial Day weekend.
Is this weekend?
This weekend.
Crazy. This year.
Have any of you thought about what your plans are, and do they involve hitting the road?
I will be in Vegas.
Okay.
I'm leaving for Vegas to see pro wrestling.
Okay.
To go to All Elite Wrestling's Double or Nothing.
Nice.
Very excited.
Driving, flying?
Flying.
Okay. Kevin?
I am not doing Mox. I'm not doing Mox. Not doing
Mox.
Well,
that wasn't sketchy, was it?
Yeah, something's up. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I was trying to think.
Someone's killing a family member.
I'm killing a family member.
And sleeping next to her.
Right. But you won't be on the road driving far. Okay, no. Bean, you?
Close to home. Still trying to get the house ready to sell. If any K-Rock listeners would like to buy my home in Seattle, please contact my realtor. Yes,
you that's not going to help. Have mentioned that.
Why do you ask?
Just say it's for sale.
Because all in all, some 43 million Americans are going to be making a trip this weekend.
Okay.
That's an increase of 1.5 million over last year. So if you thought traffic was bad last year, there's going to be 1.5 million more people on the road. So essentially, AAA is predicting that most drivers are going to hit the road tomorrow, late afternoon, and then all day Friday.
Just to beat the traffic.
So here's the thing. Leave now, I think, is what AAA is saying. If you're listening now, just leave. Just start driving now.
Look, it's only Wednesday at 5 minutes till 7,
but
leave.
Just get a jump on it.
Yeah.
But it used to be, okay, Friday at 2 p.m., that's when everybody was like, I'm getting out early, I'm going. Now it's moved to Thursday. So there will be a day when it does move to Wednesday.
I'm fortunate enough to work during off hours of traffic. And whenever I find myself driving during the on hours, it is bad. And I never want to get in my car during rush hour ever again. It's a rude awakening when I get. It's anxiety, like, to the max. Yeah. It's just like...
You're okay.
I have a perfectly good vehicle, and I'm going, that could go at least 65 miles per hour.
I think we understand traffic.
And I just want to blow my brains
right
out.
Oh. Okay.
Out of curiosity, who do you think Muggs was interviewing that point?
No idea.
We'll never know.
No idea. I heard a couple of mm-hmms, but I'm not even sure that was the guy he was interviewing.
I think that was Gumby.
It might have been Gumby.
No, an interview with Beer Mug is a monologue by Beer Mug.
Correct.
I do enjoy it so
very
much.
That was pretty sweet.
Hey, Justin Bieber announced yesterday that he's the new face of natural deodorant. It's a brand called Schmitz. So he posted on Instagram, ready for here and now. New collab coming this fall with Schmitz Naturals. And that was a shirtless photo of him. So,
I think he's passionate about it. It's probably not just for money.
Well, here's the thing. It's vegan, cruelty-free, and with all plant-based ingredients. And he wants to keep with the brand's mission. He helped design the label's artwork and formulated the scent himself. And the name, Ready for Here and Now, is a nod to Bieber's new attitude and openness about mental health. It's a reminder to be appreciative of every moment of life. And that's according to a rep from the brand. Who knew that deodorant could be so deep?
Right. No kidding.
Right?
What's your name? Jensen, you know a lot about celebrities. What do you think it costs to get Justin Bieber involved in a deal like this? How much would a deodorant company have to pay to make Biebs the spokesperson?
That would be millions of dollars,
We talking $10 million?
Depends
I would assume he would own part of the...
Yeah, he'd have a percentage. That's on top of just the fee. Depends. You know, we're talking about TV commercials, if that's in the mix, right?
Right.
Obviously, social media, he's already done once, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if he's doing the label artwork and formulating the scent himself, he's got a big stake of
big
this.
Chunk. But yeah, he's getting paid millions of dollars. This is a tough one. I would guess he's getting paid between, and this is a large jump, but 3 and 10, depending on what he's doing television-wise and stuff like that, yeah.
I just wonder if Bieber fans are going to go out and switch deodorants because he's...
I think so.
I think they would.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like we're going off of one social media, but it sounds like he's the face of this thing.
Right.
But it also could go away. I did hear a very cute story about him once, if we have a second.
Sure.
His first endorsement ever was 1-800-Flowers,
mm-hmm.
and it was when he was like a little kid, and he keeps the fee the same as when he was a kid.
For so that client, you mean?
Yeah. So, like, you know, like people pay like $5-10 million to do a deal with Justin Bieber. They pay him like a few thousand bucks every year.
Huh.
Like, he kept it because he was like thankful for them helping him early in his career.
Huh.
Kind of a sweet story.
Huh.
A good story about Justin Bieber.
There you go.
Right. I like it.
Remember he also peed in a mop bucket once.
That happened, sure. Uh-huh.
I don't know about you guys, but when I was little and I would see commercials for, like, tampons or douche, I'd always be like, oh, my God, can you imagine being in that commercial? How embarrassing. Did you guys think that when
all
you were
the time.
Young?
Right? All the time. Also about, like, the herpes ones?
Absolutely.
I always wondered, do you have to have herpes to have been in that commercial? And if so, you don't want your friends to know that.
Right.
Mom,
as a
Dad, I made
kid,
it. I have a commercial. What are you doing? Oh, nausea.
But as a little kid, you really think, like, I would never do a diarrhea ad. Oh, my God, give me all the diarrhea ads. Right? I'm saying, like, kids are stupid is, I guess, what I'm saying, everybody. All right. Let's move on. Some birthdays for you. Supermodel Naomi Campbell. Actresses Jennifer Goodwin and Maggie Q. And what?
Give me all the diarrhea commercials. Right? Allie McKay.
Thank you. Singer Morrissey.
Boo.
I don't even know what to even call him anymore. And WWE wrestler, all around good guy. I love him so much. He's probably my favorite. Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's a
yes.
Heck of a catchphrase.
Yes. Yes.
Wait,
yes.
This is my favorite part right here.
Yes!
That one? That
yeah.
one? Yes!
Yeah,
that was a good really one. Sells
yes.
it in that one.
Yes!
All right.
Yes.
We've got
no,
at least
okay.
8 more minutes.
Yes!
All right, yes.
Yes!
Got it. Yes.
Got
well,
it.
I think we get the gist.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
We're already getting a little bit starstruck, a little bit nervous about our guest in the 9 o'clock hour. The great David Tennant will be here on the Kevin Show.
It's pretty cool.
He's the best.
Yeah,
right?
Agreed.
Yeah. Harry Potter, How to Train Your Dragon.
Doctor Who.
Broadchurch.
Yeah.
Doctor Who. And this new series looks great, too. On Amazon.
Good Omens, yeah.
Yeah, looks great. So David Tennant, definitely you don't want to miss it. 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Kevin, it sounds like you've got a new crush.
Well, I'm not sure it's a new crush, but there is a morning show on ITV. Mm-hmm. Is that in Britain?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a morning show there, and they interview weirdos, and they try their best to sort of empathize with them, and they don't mock, and they don't make fun, but they just let that person explain what they're about.
This is the same show that had on the woman who has sex with ghosts,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And treated her like she wasn't crazy.
Yes, exactly. They actually try to make her believe that they're on her side. And they do it genuinely, I think. I mean, they really do. So the headline for the article that I didn't write and wasn't about me is, I slept next to my dead wife. That was the headline.
Well, it sounded very natural coming from you.
Yeah, just rolled off your lips.
I'm just saying it wasn't.
You sound like a guy with experience is all we're saying.
But I'm saying it's
not. We get why this story spoke to you.
It is not about me at all, though, is what I'm saying. And here's the
interview.
But
you're related.
Not. So here's the interview that they did with the guy who slept next to his dead wife for 6 days.
It is a fascinating story and a beautiful story.
Now, would you start off that way?
I don't know if it's beautiful.
Is it a beautiful story? Okay.
Your relationship is incredible. So she was first diagnosed with cervical cancer in 2006. And you say she wanted to be in control of it.
That's right, yeah. So from the start, Wendy got into the driving seat and stayed in the driving seat with her own health. So she didn't get on the conveyor belt of cancer and just sort of do as the doctors said. And she chose to take a natural health path and... During the course of the 10 years, she refused chemotherapy, refused radiotherapy. She thought that would kill her.
And then?
And then at 4:40 a.m. on the 21st of April, she peacefully passed away. And I think it's that next step, your relationship with death, that ultimate taboo we have in our society. Because we do have a very unhealthy relationship with death, don't we?
Look how hard he's trying.
Yeah.
Okay, it's what comes next, because we have a complicated relationship with death, but you seem to be not afraid of it at all.
See, if it was me doing this interview, right. I'd be like, audience, hold on to your butts.
Right,
same. Listen to this. This dude's a sicko.
Right.
In my opinion, I'd say we do, yes. So, I mean, Wendy was not afraid of dying from the start, so as well as getting in the driving seat on her health, she didn't have that fear.
She's not a great driver, by the way, for her health. I'd just like to say that.
Yeah, we shouldn't have her driving at this point.
Right.
And neither did I, in fairness. So not having that fear was a real, real asset to the whole journey.
Yeah.
We kind of came across some information from different sort of spiritual belief systems about what to do at death. And the Buddhists, for example, believe the spirit might take up to 3 days to transcend. The Steiner community that we spoke to said that the spirit can sometimes get confused and not know what's going on. So
that's my spirit, by the way.
They sit with their dead in vigil and to reassure the spirit what's going on in familiar surroundings with familiar people.
Get to the part where you... slept next to your dead wife for 6 days.
So myself and Wendy talked about this openly, and we planned that that's what we'd do.
Well, I mean, there are practicalities here. I mean, you had a lovely wicker coffin, which you put her in the bedroom, and then so you could be together in the same room.
She had a lovely wicker coffin.
Okay.
And that he put her in, and so that she could be with him in the same room after she died. So that's a thing.
And this is to help his mourning process.
At nighttime, and people would come, and they would see her. And you say that when your heart truly broke was the fact that she looked so beautiful, and it was your family that tended to her body, because you didn't want the undertakers to come in and put her in the body bag and take her to the morgue. And there's no legal reason to do that, is there?
I mean, this guy's bending over backwards. I mean, honestly, it's not legally wrong, right?
Only 6 days, by the way?
6 days.
And that was because he wanted her out of there before she started to decompose?
I think you decompose before 6 days.
Well, you'll hear that.
Okay. Not that we're aware of, no. So when she died, most people, I think, they call the undertakers, and within a couple of hours, they're dead or taken in a black plastic bag to a refrigerator for a few weeks until the funeral. We just couldn't bear the idea of that. Myself and the four boys were all very close.
Okay, he's got four boys now. Involved in this.
I mean, it just sounds like he wanted to run the funeral or like the viewing.
Yeah, it was like an open casket, but at the house.
In his
family.
Bedroom.
Yeah.
And people would visit.
For about a week.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I have to tell you, I would not do it. This is not for me. I don't have any problem with this guy doing it. It doesn't sound dangerous or weird or anything like that to me.
I would say it sounds weird, but not dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, in other words, I think it's okay what he did. If this is what he and his wife talked about, and this gives him and his family comfort, I think I'm fine with this choice.
We sort of were saying, how on earth could we be dealing with this if someone had just taken Wendy's body away? Mm. And we realized that we're being healed and helped so much by her presence still being with us.
So it really helped your grief process?
It really helped our grief process. Now, in hindsight, don't know how we would have coped if we hadn't done it that way. And it seemed so normal for us. It didn't seem weird or unusual. It just seemed totally natural. And what we had was Wendy in the room with us.
All right, I hate to argue with you because you're in grief, but what you didn't have was Wendy in the room with you.
She was there.
She was dead.
Her body was there. Look.
The shell was there.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to start doing this.
Wait.
Start. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to start.
How many different?
Collecting bodies.
Okay. You're opening a mortuary, basically, is what you're saying.
I've decided this sounds very chill.
Yeah. For those 6 days, a body left without professional help still behaves itself.
That's how he asks.
Very delicately.
That's how he asks.
Does
she decompose? Does she start smelling? He says behaves herself.
Quite a field trip together.
Right?
Yeah.
Poop herself.
I mean, it was in no way.
Yeah, she totally behaved herself.
She totally behaved herself. That's great news that she behaved after she was dead.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Wow.
I, not for hygiene reasons, but for sort of ritual reasons, washed Wendy's body. We then put her in a lovely little cotton dress.
Put her in a little lovely cotton dress.
Yeah, okay. We're getting there.
And then?
And then laid her out in her coffin. We put a little bit of lipstick on, a little bit of makeup.
Okay.
Lipstick.
Then we went to see Avengers Endgame.
And we came back, and her body was completely gone.
I made a decision because we're really in tune with nature and the natural health sort of road that we've been down. And for me, being with the dead body, watching it slightly decay, was just part of nature.
Mm. Okay, now it got weird.
Right there it got weird. At that point it got weird. Not him putting lipstick on her?
I mean, she wants to look her best.
I mean, he doesn't want her out getting photos taken of her and looking bad, looking like she's dead.
But once she starts just decomposing... It's part of nature.
You got to make a call.
It's life.
Someone's got to come pick up Wendy.
Well, as you guys know, and I've mentioned this many times, all you have to do is play reggae music and she'll just wake up and start dancing around.
Right.
Everyone knows that.
Right.
From my point of view, if Wendy had started to smell, in fact, even if she'd started to stink.
What do you think he's going to say?
He's going to say, I'd love the smell of my dead, decomposing wife, Wendy.
That was in his vows.
I have to say, she didn't at all. That would have been fine. The smell would have gone from the house, but it would have been nature.
Hmm. Okay.
That's how my wife feels about my farts, so I get it.
Oh, my gosh.
It is one of the most anticipated films of 2019, Godzilla, King of the Monsters. You can see it at the Arclight Hollywood, May 28th, which is this coming Tuesday. Godzilla battling Mothra, mm-hmm. Rodan, mm-hmm. Ghidorah. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Godzilla, like Chewbacca, is one of those impressions that Dave feels like he has nailed.
Oh, he I thought Godzilla was in the room yesterday.
Yeah.
In his defense, they're similar impressions.
They are similar. But the King can do both of them. So, King, we're going to give away some tickets here to our Kevin DeBede listeners at 1-800-520-1067 for great Godzilla impressions. Why don't you set the standard for us? Like, this is the least we expect, is it has to be this good.
All right, cool. So, you know, this is just Godzilla walking, you know.
We don't need the
backstory. We don't need the backstory.
Yeah, we don't need to set him up.
All right, cool. That was him chill. That was
so much worse than yesterday.
That was chill.
That was
Godzilla.
Awful.
We don't want chill. We just...
Now that you've cleared your throat, let's hear your Godzilla impression.
All right, cool. This is him getting ready.
That sounds like a donkey.
I mean, it could be either.
You'll hear it. You'll hear it. Watch.
Oh, an eagle. It could have been an eagle, yeah. No.
So all that's my Godzilla.
So 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear your Godzilla impression.
The bar is set pretty low.
Mm-hmm. I know it is. So, I know it is.
The bar is technically on the floor. There's no
We have five pairs of tickets, so pretty much if you do a Godzilla impression, you're going to win the tickets. Okay, so that's coming up next year on K. First, though, and this is a very difficult transition today.
Yeah, prepare for whiplash.
This is whiplash. Jensen said in the meeting yesterday, well, Jensen, why don't you tell the story? Because we all agreed with you. And we're like, what the hell?
I can't believe this isn't the only story we're talking about locally. I feel like it's being underserviced. The idea that 36 horses were found to be now euthanized in 2018 at the Santa Anita racetrack, on top of the now, 26 or something like that that have happened, 25 that have happened since December 26th of last year, and so in 2019. This is a ridiculous amount of dead horses.
I do see it mentioned here and there, but you're right, it's not anywhere near mainstream.
To me, it should be the top story locally, and I don't understand why it's not.
Well, especially since so many people have such a soft spot for animals, usually they turn up to protest anything, right? Like, why aren't there 1,000 people out in front of Santa Anita insisting that they stop running races if this is the case?
And all four of us would be very news-heavy locally. We all check out what's going on. Obviously, it's part of our job. And the amount of mystery around this is also concerning.
Well, we asked Dave if there's anyone we could speak to on the subject, and he found the perfect guy because he covers, among many other sports-related things, horse racing for the Los Angeles Times. He is a special contributor. His name is John Chirwa, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, John, how are you?
Good morning.
We are, as you just heard, just shocked that this is not all anybody is talking about, because this, I mean, this is two deaths in 4 days right at Santa Anita this week.
Yeah, it's sort of on the back end of the story, and there has been a fair amount of coverage. I think I must have written about 30 stories on it, and it's been on the front page of the LA Times, I think, at least three or four
times. All right,
times.
We read all those, but we're just saying.
there were protesters. Things have quieted down. Here's essentially what the timeline is. They went 6 weeks with no fatalities, and then they had two in a four-day span earlier this week. Prior to that, they had had 20 fatalities in 10 weeks. Oh. And that was all during the rainy season. And, they shut down the track for 3+ weeks to try to figure it out. So it's kind of bubbling back up right now from where it was earlier.
What is happening with all the horses? Why are they dying?
Well, this is their big question. They have a horse population of about 1,800, 2,000. And, suddenly they just started breaking down. And it's what we call catastrophic injuries. Catastrophic injuries usually means a broken bone, a fetlock, something like that. And they all just started to cluster together. And one of of the theories, and this is one of those, you know, it's kind of like when you have those cancer clusters, like nobody can figure out what happens, mm-hmm. and it's there for a while and then it goes away. My theory is, and it's supported by others, is that they had so much rain. We had 20 inches of rain during the winter. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they do a thing that's called sealing the track, which means they push it down. They pound it down so it's very hard. And what that does is allows the water to run off the top rather than to seep into the dirt and create mud. And some speculate that while they were training, all that training was going on the sealed tracks, that it was possibly because of the hardness, possibly causing some microfractures that are not always detectable, and most cases are not detectable. And then a race or two later, you know, the microfracture becomes a macrofracture, and you have a fatality. That's one theory, and probably the most prevalent theory.
There have been, I was surprised, and I don't have it in front of me, John, but I saw an article recently that said that there were many, many, many deaths at many, many, many racetracks around the country every year. There is a certain amount of attrition each year with horses just because you're putting them in a situation where there's a lot of damage to their bodies, right?
Yeah, that's one of the really tough things about the sport is that horses will die. And, you know, the number at Santa Anita right now is 25. They have about 5 or 6 more weeks of racing before they shut down for a little while.
Can I ask a question right there? Do you mind? Why are they having any more races? Why are any owners
feeling comfortable
putting their horses out there now?
The prevalent thinking is that, you know, the horses like to run the incidence of the, well, everyone says the only acceptable number is zero.
Yeah.
The owners and the trainers feel that the track is safe, that there's nothing unsafe about the track. And I don't think you can get into horse racing unless you can accept the fact that horses are going to die. And I know that, you know, you end up saying things that just don't make sense. And that's kind of one of those things. But let me pose this question to you. Is it better to have been born knowing that you have a slight risk of suffering a catastrophic injury at a very young age, or is it better to have never been born? Now, that's kind of the question that you have to wrestle with, because these horses would not exist if not for thoroughbred racing. They would not be on a farm.
But I think that's part of the issue as well. Like I think we did this with circuses over the last 10 years, is just said to ourselves, is it worth it to have these animals just so that our kids can throw peanuts at them? Like I think that's a larger question. I know you're kind of playing devil's advocate a little bit, but I think that we shouldn't be breeding them in that way, because we're clearly, you know, not to say God is putting his hand on these horses, but we're doing something wrong.
Or are we? Like, we asked a question earlier, which is, are all of the racetracks basically the same?
Or is the sport the bigger issue?
Oh, I think it's the sport. And I do try, you know, my opinion on everything. I try to cover the sport as agnostically as you can, because otherwise, I couldn't do my job. It's like covering any really sensitive topic. I understand both sides of it. And I think here, you know, we're in almost in 2020, 2019, people's sensitivities toward the rights of animals has certainly grown in the last decade to 2 decades to 3 decades. Mm-hmm. And we're in California, which is as a progressive state, you know, we see problems and we try to fix them. The incidence of deaths, actually, Santa Anita is not the highest in the country. The highest, as of the last survey, which was last year, was in Hawthorne, which is near Chicago, and number two was Churchill Downs in Louisville.
So they have over, how many horses are dying there a year?
I can give you some.
Well, we know it's over 30. It's going to be in the 40 range, if at least.
And this is a. Right here. But my question is this a new thing?
No,
or
he's
we're just hearing about it. I don't.
There's just too many dead horses. I mean, he's saying it might not be localized for this racetrack. It sounds like it's the sport.
It's sport-wide.
Is real rough.
It's the sport, yeah. And to give you how they measure it is a little different. They measure it in deaths per start per thousand. And the industry standard is somewhere around 1.8 starts per thousand. You'll find Hawthorne over two, and maybe even Churchill Downs over two starts per thousand. And horse racing is actually way safer than it was before for the horses.
Seems like a tough argument to make right now.
That argument sounds put together by glue.
Yeah. Oh, too soon.
Hey, John, I've apologized for this because you obviously are very knowledgeable on this topic, and I wish we had more time, but I'm glad we're able to at least hit some basics. I mean, you've really opened our eyes to a bigger problem than we expected. But before we let you go, John Chur was special contributor to the Los Angeles Times. Would you like to do your Godzilla impression for us? Can we hear you doing Godzilla?
I saw the last Godzilla movie with Bryan Cranston.
Right.
Yes. I didn't understand the ending. I had to have someone explain the ending to me.
Okay, irrelevant. We're looking for an impression.
I don't think so.
All right. You did the right thing.
Fair enough.
That's the right choice.
Follow Mr. Chirwa on Twitter at his name, Jay Chirwa, and of course at LA Times as well. Thanks for coming on, sir. We enjoyed it.
You bet. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have passes for the K-Rock Advance screening of Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Can't wait, you guys. Millie Bobby Brown is starring in this movie.
All right.
From Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, we spent so much time thinking about the monsters that we forget that we have an actual real-life fun actress in the film as well. It's going to be the K-Rock screening May 28th, which is next Tuesday at the Arclight Hollywood. Dave, again, our baseline. Let's hear your Godzilla impression.
Sounds like we're still in the horses.
I don't know how it gets any better than that.
Let's go to the phones with our new game we call Godzilla or Notzilla.
Godzilla or Notzilla, can you sound like Godzilla? Godzilla or Notzilla, Dave, show them how it's done. I think that was a Notzilla. Godzilla or Notzilla, let me give it one shot.
Wow, I'm pretty good.
Omar's was way better.
Was really good.
Way better.
Really awesome.
Not even close.
All right, we've got five pairs of tickets for this, so it's almost impossible to not win a pair, but we'll just take them in order and start with Rick on line one. He's in Garden Grove. He's our first guy. He's younger than I expected him to be.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We want to hear your Godzilla impression, please.
Okay, here he goes.
All right. This is going to be fun. I say, look, if Dave is the baseline, Rick is better than Dave.
No way. He didn't even hit the high pitch.
He's better.
He didn't even get the high pitch.
Godzilla or Notzilla.
Rick, congratulations. Enjoy the movie Tuesday night. Take that little kid with you there, too. Who's up next, Kevin?
Art in Ontario. Good morning.
I mean,
right, we win. We weren't asking for an Ali impression, but that was nice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, let's hear your Gojira.
All right, Gojira. I'm doing Godzilla.
Right.
Right, same thing. The Gojira is the Japanese name.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Good try.
Here we go.
That was more chewy, I thought.
And they're all a little chewy.
It was, yeah, I know. I'm sorry, can I hear it again?
Started out strong.
That sounds like
it's a little Scooby-Doo as well.
To me, I'm not going to vote for Art because I think he's doing Tim Allen at the end of Home Improvement.
It does sound like it a little bit.
Yeah.
You want me to do Tim Allen? I could do that.
Let's hear
Tim Allen.
All right, Art's back in.
He's back in.
Art's
for me.
Back
Wait,
in.
So we're giving him tickets because he did a Tim Allen.
Okay,
sure. All right.
Godzilla or Notzilla.
All right.
Now I know the difference.
He's a man of a thousand voices.
You really need to get Art in studio. That was amazing.
Let's go to Matt in Commerce. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you.
I think you can tell we're taking this very seriously. Let's hear your Godzilla impression.
Awesome. All right, this is for my 8-year-old Joseph. Here we go.
Reggie?
Hey, Bobcat Goldthwait. Good morning.
It's hard for me to not vote for a guy who's doing it for his 8-year-old.
Yeah, agreed.
I say no.
Oh,
I say
yes. I say yes.
Yeah.
Godzilla or Notzilla.
Mine is so much better than Matt's.
I wouldn't say that with that much confidence.
You don't win either. Let's go to Austin and Northridge. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We are doing well. Thank you. Austin, I think you can tell it's a very difficult assignment today. We're looking for your Godzilla impression to win tickets for Godzilla King of the Monsters Tuesday at the Arclight. What do you got for us?
All right, you ready? Here we go.
Yes.
Is that a cat in heat?
This is the first time I can clearly
say no.
What were you doing instead of Godzilla? What was your impression there?
That was exactly Godzilla, brother. Look it up, brother.
Look it up, brother.
I now respect it.
You know what? You look it up right now because I'm hanging up. Okay.
Oh, God. That guy found a way to lose a game we're kidding about.
Let's go to Todd.
That was
Corona.
Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, how's it going? Okay, here we go.
All right.
This is from the Black and White Godzilla.
Okay.
Oh, good,
okay. Good morning, Marge Simpson.
I'll allow it.
Godzilla or Notzilla.
I'm going to be honest. Mine is way better than
Shut up, Dave.
All right.
Congratulations, Todd.
All right. We got time for one more.
Let's see. Let's go to Londa. Londra in San Fernando. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning.
All right. Godzilla impression. Are you ready?
Oh, is this going to be a lady Godzilla?
Okay.
All right, okay. I'm ready for it.
Hello, my wife. I'm sorry, like, maybe try that again. Just one more try.
Okay.
Good. Listen, one more try.
I like when she runs out of breath at the end.
Just one more.
One more time.
I think progressively she got better.
I'm on the fence.
Every single one.
Just one more.
One more? Okay.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, one more. We need to know.
Yeah. See?
Oh, there we go.
I mean, she's getting better.
Let's do one more.
Just one more.
To be sure.
No, you're almost there.
Yeah.
I swear.
Just get it.
You're
deeper.
So close to the tickets. One more.
Deeper, like from the gut, start there and then go up.
No.
I say no.
I mean,
I say no.
Come on. Absolutely, yes.
One more. But again, we need
one more.
Yeah, because the last one was a failure.
Okay.
She ran out of breath.
So one more.
I love her so much. They're getting progressively worse.
Guys, I love Londra.
I haven't been listening. I just stepped in. Are we talking to Londra? Can we hear her impression, please?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear her impression,
okay,
if you don't mind.
Ahead,
I didn't know you weren't there.
Okay,
he needs here to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. I missed it.
I love her so much.
You're the Londra, have fun at Godzilla King of the Monsters on Tuesday night. More tickets tomorrow. This has been Godzilla or Notzilla.
Godzilla or not.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Usually, Allie does what's happening at this time every hour to bring us news of celebrities in the news, but I understand she's the celebrity in the news this time around.
Yeah. Well, yesterday at about this time, we were talking about disgusting things that your partner does, mm-hmm. and it came up that some people like to take photos mm-hmm. of their poop.
Oh, dear God. Mm-hmm. Not again with
and
this.
And then text them to people.
Listen, I called you all out because you're liars for saying you've never done it.
I've never done it.
And let's not act like this is something I'm doing all willy-nilly. It has to be art, first of all, when I do it. But it was mostly calling you all out for
being lying. Because we're lying liars who lie.
Right. Well, yeah. I will tell you that not only did we find out that Dave does it, that Beer Mug does it, we heard from tons of listeners who mm-hmm. do it, who have group texts with mm-hmm. friends and with coworkers where they're basically bragging
poop
about
texts.
Their bowel movements.
Group poop texts.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have a little song.
I like pics of you poo. Come on and send them my way. Show me that you love me. I like pics of your poo. Yeah, it doesn't matter, short, long, or lumpy. I like pics of your. I like building mountains and taking pics of poo, a poo, a poo, a poo. Just send them my way, I'll take them all day.
Smell it.
I love poo, Allie at Carol Q.
And giving out your email.
Yeah, again.
You want them in an email, right? That's what you said.
Not just random pictures. It has to be
artwork.
art. It okay. has to be, whoa, look at that curve. Or, oh, my God, this is long as a baby arm. You know, it's not just poo.
Okay.
That sounds unnecessary.
So if it's exceptional, you'd like to see it.
No. No.
That's what that song made it sound like.
I have to have
like.
A relationship with someone in order to
email.
Really enjoy that art.
All right. Allie is here. What's happening?
You guys, a recent New York Times best-selling biography of Tiger Woods is being turned into a scripted miniseries. This move comes just after Woods won his fifth Masters Championship last month. And, of course, he's widely considered one of the greatest career comebacks in sports history. The man's book, titled Tiger Woods, opens with the 2009 car accident on the day after Thanksgiving that, you know, precipitated his whole infidelity scandal.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure if you pick it up from there, mm-hmm. I'm watching that miniseries.
That's what I want to see.
I want to watch the heck out of that.
Yeah, Page Six just came out with a bunch of new facts about it, too, that I didn't know.
Really?
So I'm sure it's coming out with the script, too. Yeah.
All right.
Is that where we got the clip of his mom saying, "What happened?" Was that it? Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
I think so.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
I don't love it, you guys. So Game of Thrones, a lot of people were saying, oh, I'm going to cancel my HBO subscription. And you're like, no, you're probably not. But what about those people that have the HBO Go subscription? Those people are called churn in the industry. This is when a user bails on a service due to either price hikes or the end of a global smash hit. Like you just got it to watch that one
just
show
for that.
Type of thing.
Now that it's gone, you don't want to pay anymore.
Exactly. And since streaming service subscriptions don't come with all the long-term contracts or additional fees for leaving or joining like cable, there's a unique challenge for them to retain those users. Market research says the average subscription among leading streaming players lasts about 31 months, which was increased recently, but that pales in comparison to the time periods people obviously have traditional cable contracts.
Sure.
Those could be years. But HBO Now users were twice as likely as those from any other top-tier streaming service to nix that subscription when a series ends.
Interesting.
So
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're going to see a whole lot of churn in November when Disney comes out and people have to decide between Disney or Netflix. They're going to lose a ton of
Netflix
subscribers.
Is.
Yeah.
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 Oof.
There is one more Game of Thrones thing, which is the behind-the-scenes documentary that looks great. That's on.
Is that this Sunday?
Yes, in its time slot at 6 p.m. or 9 p.m.
All right. So, you guys, two of Hollywood's biggest movie stars were over the moon to be working with the late Luke Perry. Those two, Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt, they were raving about the actor in an interview with Esquire. Leonardo said, seeing him walk onto the set of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and he said he had a butterfly moment of like, oh my God, that's Luke Perry over there, which is awesome to hear. I just loved it. Here's the confusing thing to me. Brad Pitt agreed, saying, "That's effing Luke Perry. We were like kids in the candy shop because I remember going to the studios and Beverly Hills 90210 was going on and he was that icon of coolness for us as teenagers." Brad, you are 55.
You're definitely not. You are not a teenager.
You were 27 years old when the first episode aired. I just did the math and I used a calculator, by the way.
Yeah, good.
I subtracted your date of birth, 1963, from 1990.
Okay.
The first episode. You were 27,
You're
Brad
so old
Pitt.
That Allie was able to do math.
Thank you.
That's how rough it was.
Calculator.
Yeah.
But math.
What are you... He was that icon of coolness for us as teenagers. You were almost 30, dude.
Yeah.
Maybe he felt like a teenager.
What's this about?
I don't know.
I don't know. Do you guys find that as weird as I did?
If I had to guess, I would say somebody asked them, and you don't want to be mean to anybody. And by all accounts, he was the nicest guy in the world. So they were just pouring it on because they were asked.
I would guess. I think that the praise was right.
Absolutely.
We're talking about the age.
No, agree.
Yeah.
I think he was just flowing with it.
He was
just freestyling out. Yeah. And maybe he just feels like a young soul.
That's possible.
Another lying liar who lies. But I will guarantee Brad Pitt takes a fix of poop.
I don't think so.
No?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think it's less popular. We all work with degenerates. I mean,
that's
correct. I think out in regular world, people don't take pics of their poo.
We heard from thousands yesterday.
Did we hear from thousands?
Thousands.
She's still bad at math.
Again, math, not my strong suit. Hey, some birthdays for you guys. Morrissey, Maggie Q, Jennifer Goodwin, Naomi Campbell, and Daniel Bryan.
We're going to get into things your dog ate in a moment, but first, I understand we have a late-breaking Afro call from Harold Dean, Jensen's mom.
Yeah, she's still watching The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. We have her giving a report. She called me yesterday and just said, I don't know how long I can do it, and that's all I know. So I have not listened to it.
Hi, guys. It's Harold Dean, Jensen's mom. Well, I'm giving you probably the last update I'll ever give on The Bachelorette. Oh, wow.
I'd just like to say this is our second one.
And in the first one, she slut-shamed her.
I believe I'm totally done with this show. It used to be fun. It was like a car wreck. You hated to look at it, but you watched it anyway. But I'm totally done. First of all, she stood in front of the guys before the rose ceremony, started crying, outrageously crying, saying she was overwhelmed and scared. She's just very dramatic, immature, and I don't want to slut-shame her, but it's very apparent that she's a definite tease. She's on stage constantly. She eggs on the guys for attention and obviously wants to get compliments from there. Touches every guy on the arm or the leg, but one particular thing happened that is unbelievable. She was over in a little nook at the mansion, and she was kissing on this guy, and then she asked him to take off his shirt, and he was one of the hot guys. So he takes off his shirt, and she starts kissing him. Another guy walks in, and she drops the F-bomb 6 times.
Ooh.
But anyway, she told the other guy that walked in on him, just give me a minute, please. So he walks out, and she's talking to this guy saying, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Make a long story short, she walks out, tells the guy she's sorry, and then she starts kissing him. So, I mean, I hate to say this, but it really is an embarrassment to all women. I really think that they picked the wrong person to be the Bachelorette. She's just I think she's unstable, to tell you the truth. She's unstable, and it's not good to watch a woman like this. It really isn't.
Okay.
So that's really my update, and I'm done with it. I'm finished. As far as I'm concerned, I will be happy to never see this show again.
Wow.
So anyway, that's it. Have a great morning, and talk to you later. Bye.
Listen, that was a short-lived feature.
It was. I mean, listen, you just got to organically go with them, you know? Yeah. Some work out and some don't.
Is your mom one of those people who tunes into The Bachelor, which is about a woman picking from 25 potential suitors, and then is mad that she's dating too many men? Because that's what it sounds like.
I do think that she's old-fashioned in that way, but yet loves a show. But she liked the Cinderella aspect of it. And I think that it sounds like they're sort of peeling that away.
Does she get as angry when the dudes are smooching the ladies?
Yeah.
Here's my thing.
She is. She doesn't believe in any of that
stuff.
Has
she watched any of the other seasons?
I think
because
she's seen,
to me, that's every Bachelorette.
I think she has seen every episode.
Okay.
But she will tell you it's different this year, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. She's gone. Goodbye, Mom.
Well, I hate to see that go.
Yeah, I hate to see that feature.
She's not going to be able to resist ABC next Monday.
Well, that we'll find out. We'll know by call if she doesn't.
That's true. I had a dinner on Sunday night at a friend's house, and you know I hated that, but I got dragged along by the wife. And one of the conversations that came up at dinner time was very interesting to me, though, because they have a blind dog. The people whose house I went to has a blind dog.
Mm-hmm.
But he is a moocher, man. He can find his nose still works, and man, can he find food anywhere. And they revealed to me some of the things that he has eaten by getting into the kitchen and just basically running his big old nose and mouth up against the counter in their kitchen, including 2 different times he ate entire sticks of butter.
Oh, gosh.
2 different times he ate entire sticks of butter.
I'm jealous.
That sounds gross.
I'm jealous.
It does sound gross. And then we started talking about things that your dog eats. And this is what we want to talk about, because I don't think we've ever done this topic before. But dogs, man, they are not discerning. I will tell you that they will eat almost anything that is available to them. And we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. My dog, Santa's little helper back in the day, one time got into a 12-pack of banana nut muffins from Costco and ate them all.
Wow.
Including the paper that wrapped the muffins.
No.
12 of them.
I was with you right till the paper.
Who could eat 12 muffins? Somebody.
How big was your dog? How many pounds would you guess?
She was about 70 pounds, I would imagine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, somebody else at the dinner party revealed that his dog had one time gotten into and eaten and swallowed 80 ibuprofen.
Oh, no.
That sounds like death to me.
That's a yes. dog that just wanted to get out.
They never had another muscle pain, I'll tell you that. they took her immediately to the vet, and they pumped her stomach, and she ended up being fine.
Oh, thank God.
Wow. That's... But, I mean, getting into medicine, I would imagine, would be one of the most dangerous things they could do. And also getting into, I mean... Look, if you Google things your dog ate, you will see so many stories about dogs eating needles, eating shish kebab skewers. Here's a story about a woman who had a dog named Woof, who called the vet saying that she noticed that her 3-year-old son's rubber ducks kept going missing, and she saw Woof eat one, so she took him into the vet. They did an X-ray and found out that he had eaten 5 rubber duckies. Oh. He had 5 rubber duckies in his stomach.
It seems like a lot.
Here's a 3-year-old Great Dane taken to the vet after he started vomiting. X-ray showed a large amount of foreign material in the pup's stomach. After exploratory surgery, the family was shocked to find out that their dog had eaten... How many socks do you reckon? How many socks have this Great Dane eaten?
Pairs or singles?
Good question. Good question.
Singles.
18.
18 socks. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's high. I would say 12.
12?
I'm going to say one. $1.
43.5.
Whoa. No, and a half.
Couldn't get through that last one.
43. I am stuffed. 43.5 socks. There's a picture in this article that I'm looking at of all of those socks just laid out at the vet's office. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
Here's a 10-month-old golden retriever. Started vomiting, kept throwing up. The owners took him to his vet. That's when they discovered their pup had eaten a light bulb.
Ooh.
Is there nothing that a dog won't eat? One more, then we'll go to your calls. A 12-year-old Welsh Corgi ate nearly 2 cups of gravel from a turtle tank.
2 cups of gravel?
Just rocks.
That's exactly what you do with grape nuts every day.
The owners had cleaned out the tank and dumped the gravel in their flower bed. The temptation was too much for the Corgi, who devoured all of it.
Mm.
Gravel from a turtle tank.
When I was a kid, we used to have a dog named Boots because it was a black dog with white paws.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't take care of that dog at all as kids. And my dad had to take care of it and was upset. Like, it would run into the apartment complex across the street and he would have to go chase it because we were someplace else not paying any attention. And he got so mad at us. He's like, look, it would eat shoes. It would eat shirts. It just would eat anything it came across. He said, if something else happens, we're going to get rid of the dog because you guys aren't paying attention. You're not helping. And then it ate his wedding ring.
Oh.
And I don't think he found it funny when I said, just wait it out.
Yeah, it's coming out. It's going to reappear.
Got rid of the dog.
Oh,
Boots. Because none of us were helping at all.
Right.
Like, 100% the right decision, but...
So he gets rid of Boots, and Boots still has the ring in his stomach?
I believe so, yeah.
Ooh, good find at the pound.
Yeah.
did you find a new family for it, or did you quote-unquote send it to a nice farm upstate?
Honestly, I don't know. I assume he found a good place for it.
He found heaven.
I don't think so. All right, let's take Jose before the break. He's in Whittier. He's on line 6, joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show. What did your dog eat? Jose, welcome to the show. What's going on?
I have a little chihuahua, and every time I'm in the garage and it's like I'm working on something, it'll eat nuts, bolts, screws, and metal shavings, and I'll be working on my car with some leaking transmission fluid.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap.
Jose, you got to feed your dog.
Right?
Yeah, or keep him out of the garage. I mean, have you ever had to take him to the vet to get any of this stuff removed?
No, but I've taken it once for precaution, and the vet says the dog's fine, but just keep an eye out on her. But I don't know, she has like a metal stomach or something.
She's going to have a hell of a time going through a metal detector in an airport. I'll tell you that.
Right? Like they do.
Like they do. All right, Jose, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. What did your dog eat? We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of Foster the People, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Grace in Alhambra. Good morning, Grace.
Hi, good morning.
We have learned that dogs eat everything. What did yours eat?
She ate everything in the trash can on Saturday.
paper towels, Jello shots. Ooh.
Who's throwing away Jello shots?
They were old. They were from the night before, so we threw them out, and they were like in little paper cups, like little mini paper cups.
Sure.
So she ate through those. She eats the other dog's poop.
Okay. Oh, sure. Right. Okay. Yes.
Send Allie a picture. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Dear Kevin and Bean, my small dog was a year old at the time. She ate a grasshopper while out on our walk and popped it out the next day intact. That's so a happy ending.
That's a magician.
But quite a ride for the grasshopper, huh?
Mm-hmm. Coming up just after 9 o'clock, David Tennant joins us in studio. Oh, we're excited about that.
I'm not going to be able to handle that interview, by the way. I'm too excited. I'm too starstruck by David Tennant coming in.
Okay. All right.
Stacy writes in, my dog ate something on a walk, didn't know what it was, but a couple of hours later, we thought he had a stroke. It turns out he ate pot that was on the street. He was high as a kite. Ashley, when I was a kid, my golden retriever puppy ate cow manure, a box of chocolate, and a hair scrunchie. She survived all of that, but it made for very expensive vet bills for my parents. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What did your dog eat? Nick, L.A., up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Nick.
Morning, Thin Mints. How are you guys?
No, this is not going to pick up.
Well played. I love you, Nick. Well played. I love you. What'd your dog eat?
I have an almost 2-year-old German Shepherd, and since he was a puppy, he loves eating socks. And the only reason I find out is when I pick up the dog poop, there are pairs of socks throughout the yard.
Oh,
no way.
Like pieces of the socks, or like a full, like
no,
a full,
like they're coming out whole.
They come out as a pair too, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
They're matched together.
You're right.
Yeah. You just throw them in the wash and you're ready to go.
Did you think that the washing machine was like eating the socks? Like, you know how you always think we lost them in the wash? Like, where? Did you notice you were missing that many?
So for some reason, it's only my wife's socks. I don't know if she like her stinky feet marinates the socks differently than mine. It's only her socks.
Wow.
And I'm assuming she notices they're missing because for a while she didn't have any.
You can't get new socks. We all know that.
No. You gotta go out and get them. No.
Yeah, you are living the dream life with this stinky wife and this dog that eats everything.
No socks.
I'm jealous, Nick. All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it, sir. Let's go to Ella. She's in Glendale, line 4, up next. I just don't even see how a dog could eat this, but let's let Ella tell the story.
Hey, Ella.
Hi, my grandpa was Bumbo the Clown, and my dog ate a belt.
Wait. Whoa, Barry in the lead.
Barry in the lead.
Wow.
You were raised by clowns and your dog eats a leather belt. You're made for our show.
Yes, exactly.
How does a dog eat a belt?
My dog, Milo, a labradoodle, wasn't feeling too well, just acting really strange. And so we took him to the vet and they took an x-ray and they found a belt in his system, like a full belt, not even broken up, like the full thing.
How would he do that?
I don't know.
Did he have a giant belt buckle too, like a cowboy?
Yeah, what about the buckle?
Yeah, like the belt, the buckle too.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, did they have to operate to remove it?
Yeah, they did have to operate. It cost us about like $5,000 for like meds and just trying to get him back to the way he used to be, but they did have to remove it. It was bad.
Ella, have we talked to your dad?
Yes, you have.
I thought so. All right. I love that we know all of Bumbo the Clown's family.
Wait, Dad's on the phone too? What's happening? Hey, this is Ella's spot. This is Ella's time, dude.
All right. This is my favorite family.
You guys are awesome. Thank you, Ella. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for the call. Let's go down one to line 5. Susan, Los Angeles.
Oh, this is a travesty.
This is a crime against nature.
Hey, Susan.
Hi there. Okay, so my aunt's dog ate a 2-inch needle, and right before surgery, he pooped it out. But my dog ate most of my vibrator and left the remaining bits in the living room for my parents to find.
Oh, very nice.
Your dog is a snitch,
very
too.
Nice.
Insult to injury.
I know. I guess she really likes me.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. By the way, morning, y'all, from the 626. My husband's puppy ate a bottle of Gorilla Glue. His stomach started expanding. Thank God we got him to the vet just in time, so he was fine. That's good news. I'm glad that all of these stories so far have had pretty happy endings. You know what I mean?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Greg, Huntington Beach, up next, line 8. At least this one is food. This is the first one in a while that's actually been food.
Hey, Greg.
How we doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so my dog, so we had hot wings one night, and then my dog got into the trash and ate about at least 20 hot wings. And what I used to do is I used to have a metal pooper scooper that I'd pick up his poop, and so I'd kind of stick it underneath him right when he would start pooping, so it'd just make it real easy, you know, and convenient.
This is a beautiful story.
Well, well, the next day when I went to do that with him and the poop started hitting the thing, it sounded like rocks coming out of his butt.
Just ping it.
Sorry, I didn't take a picture of it, Allie, and send it to you.
Me too, Greg. No one's too more sorry than me.
It's too early for her to get turned on anyway.
Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. You guys want a drunk dog? We've got Michael on line 2. He's in Whittier up next.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, so we were gonna have a party on a Saturday, and Friday night we got everything all ready, and we put a bunch of the supplies on the back patio. And I have a big Labrador, or I had a big Labrador at the time. And so I went to go to work the next morning, and it was still dark outside. And when I walked out, my dog didn't come to me, which usually he would. And I thought, whatever, I just was going to get in my car and leave. But I saw stuff glistening in the yard, and it turned out I go over there, it's empty wine cooler bottles. And we had
you guys had wine coolers at a party?
Well, among other things, many other things. But yes, include that. So,
okay. Wow, this very was a judgy, time. Kevin.
Crazy, Kevin.
I'm just saying.
And wine coolers. Spoken like a true alcoholic.
Let the man serve what he wants to serve.
Yeah, so anyways, I'm thinking, what is this? Where are these from? And I put it together. I'm thinking, where's my dog? And I'm putting it together. 15 out of the 16 were emptied in the yard. And whoa. My dog was nowhere to be found. And I heard a shuffle in the bushes. And I walk over there, and there's the dog laying in a planter, completely wasted. He had never slept in a planter in his life. And he couldn't even get up to walk with me, which normally he would have. He drank 15 wine coolers.
Please tell us he was okay.
He was all right, though.
He was all right.
He was perfectly fine. He slept it off, and now I have to lock up the liquor cabinet.
Do you still drink wine coolers?
No more wine.
All right, Bean, I just want to go over this one more time. You going to be cool?
Are we going to have rules for the guests?
I'm saying, can you just act cool? Just fake
it. Why do you think I'm not going to act cool?
Because you already said earlier this morning when David Tennant comes in that you're going to—I forget what word you used, but
I'm going to squeal like a little bitch.
Yeah, that's what he said. Squeal like a little bitch. Let's avoid that.
I just said I was a little bit nervous, a little bit starstruck. That's all, and that doesn't happen very often with a guest. But what about me? What about the lady over there whose ovaries are exploding right now because David Tennant is coming in?
Listen, you know me. I'm a fan of Scottish people because my father is one. That whole side of the family. We're a happy, proud bunch.
Okay.
Okay.
And I love the accent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's a beautiful man.
I will fight you for him. Okay. I will fight you for him.
So right. I'm saying this might not be what we want. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun, you guys. Okay. David Tennant himself joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Allie's got what's happening here for Wednesday.
Well, if this isn't the most Hollywood story you've ever heard, it took place last night in Cannes. They were having a dinner, and Elle Fanning fainted while seated next to her sister Dakota, the gentleman that kind of rushed in rom-com fashion to help her, Colin Firth. And then the woman that was checking her heartbeat, Marion Cotillard.
That bonkers.
This sounds like they're shooting a movie or a TV show.
Insane. Well, it was a dinner again at Cannes, but it's, I mean, come on.
Right?
Come on. And if anyone is going to catch you from fainting, it's going to be Colin Firth, right?
That seems on brand.
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing. Elle Fanning took to Instagram and wrote, "Oops. Had a fainting spell tonight in my 1950s Prada prom dress, but it's all good. # dress too tight. # time of the month." I respect it. Thank you, Elle Fanning. It's not easy being a lady. It really isn't, you guys.
Right?
Especially time of the month.
Right?
Feeling a little woozy anyway, then your dress is too tight? Good Lord. Plus Colin Firth is next to you? This story has everything. And speaking of other ladies that keep it real, a lot of times, you know, you have to cancel something. You say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." If you're a performer, you say, I
I'm so sorry. I'm exhausted. I need to take some time out for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Not Cardi B. She had to cancel the rest of her concerts this month as a result of some recent plastic surgery procedures. But she'll be back on stage in June. Earlier this month, Cardi confessed to getting lipo after her daughter Culture's birth and told fans at a show in Memphis at the time, quote, I shouldn't really be performing because moving too much is going to F up my lipo.
Nah, bitch.
She then also said, oh, no, I also got a second breast augmentation and I just don't feel my best.
Okay.
So she straight up is like, listen, I've had some stuff done. And I need some little time off stage.
Everybody lies when that happens,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. No. Not her.
I don't know. I'm feeling under the weather. I had a strange illness. I'm at the hospital. Everybody lies.
Nope. Like, no, I got my fat removed.
I got my fat removed, and I got my boobs
put into my
looking
boobs.
Great.
Yeah.
I respect it.
You guys don't think she got an enlargement, another enlargement, do you? Cardi B.
I
mean, because I feel like she's fairly maxed out in that department.
Wow.
I mean.
Pete's got strong feelings on this.
Well, no. I mean, am I wrong about that?
I don't
that?
Think there's a true ceiling. I think that you could be genuinely larger and larger.
More like Cardi D, right?
That's what it's looking like, though. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is just an adjustment as a result of the birth of the baby or what, but I hope she... Look, do what you want. It's your body. I'm not a man telling you what to do with your body. Believe me,
it
I'm
sounds
not.
Like, sounds like exactly you are.
Sounds, yeah. Sounds like that.
Yeah. A man telling her what...
I'm just concerned she's going to have trouble standing if they get any bigger.
You are not concerned.
I am very concerned.
Women don't become like He-Man figures, Bean, where
right?
they fall forward over and over.
I'm saying she looked great the way she was. She didn't need to do a thing. That's what I'm saying.
No, what you're saying is I preferred her the way she was, and I hope that she stays to my standards.
And
Bean,
why doesn't she smile a little more,
yeah,
right, Bean?
Right?
Yeah.
Bean.
All right, I withdraw the remarks.
All right. So you're driving along, you're listening to some mellow music. It sometimes affects your driving.
Right.
You drive in a more mellow way when you're listening to mellow music.
Say you're about to fall asleep listening to The National.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you?
He
you
is
know I love
so,
that band.
So down on The National.
They're so good.
I just Bean claimed it immediately
right.
for
That's my jam
mm-hmm. and none of us we're going to pick it anyway,
no,
so.
No. It was like a sick burn on all of us. You guys already picked The National for this week. All right.
Okay, dude.
Slow down. Kevin, when you're driving,
yes.
you're amped up. You're, yeah, this sounds good. What is your go-to band?
Rage Against the Machine.
Okay, mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this driver tweeted, driving home from Penn State, I got pulled over and given a ticket for the first time ever. And when asked why I was going 99 and 70, I was dangerously close to admitting that I was banging out to Halsey's new song, Nightmare. Understandable. It's a banger.
Sure.
To which Halsey writes back, what's your Venmo?
Oh, she saw it on social media? That's awesome.
What's your Venmo? I'll pay your ticket. Drive safely, please. Lovely.
She's the coolest.
Cool. Yeah, it's very cool.
Tweet out that I got a ticket, and mm-hmm. she's going to send me money.
Yeah.
Right?
Again, I feel like you're taking maybe okay. her kindness.
I thought that's what she wanted.
Kevin. I would like Kevin to look into this story and fill us in, because this is insane. A man woke up after a night of drinking to discover his penis had been hacked off. And he had no idea how it happened. This is a man in China. His name is Tan Nan. And he said he was so drunk, fell asleep. When he came around the following morning, he felt a sharp pain in his groin. Noticed his genitals had been chopped off. Here's my favorite part of the story. Nan allegedly told cops he had no idea who was responsible for the cruel prank. Dude, that's not a prank.
That's not a prank.
No,
they
no,
didn't
no.
put your hand in water and then you tinkled yourself. They cut off your dudes down there. Right?
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah,
and
so...
Are you passed out to the point you can't feel that?
Right. So he was brought to a couple different hospitals. None of them, again, a favorite part, had the... I don't want to say the equipment to do it, but he finally found a microsurgery expert, which made me just... right? it just made me sad.
This guy's day couldn't get worse.
Just got worse.
The hospital press release hits him again.
Right? It was real small. We didn't have that kind of glassware to look into it. After 7 hours of surgery, his manhood was reported to have been successfully reattached.
And we used only tweezers. Just another hit on the way out.
The whole story is insane.
That is bizarre.
Someone
cut it off but left it right there so he could take it in?
Well, and then they said, despite it not being kept in a dry and refrigerated environment, it's, you know, a wonder that they were able to reattach it.
I guarantee, and I don't know anything about this story.
Yeah.
But I am making a guarantee.
Okay.
This guy cut it off himself.
Really?
Yeah, he did it himself.
Like hoping to get a bigger one?
I don't know.
When they reattached it?
I'm
not
positive.
And then they're like, no, we'll do micro surgery.
Yeah. We got him switched up.
Wait, we got this one.
The guy in room 5 had the same accident.
How drunk do you have to be?
Fat, juicy pickles.
How drunk do you have to be to cut your own penis off?
I mean, I don't know that he's not making up parts of that.
You made a guarantee, Kevin.
I did. I guaranteed not knowing anything.
There was a guy, you know how Wu-Tang Clan had like 700 people in it at one point? Mm-hmm. There is a guy who cut his own penis off. His rap name was Christ Bearer, which is an incredible rap name.
Yes. I remember him. Yes.
He got crazy drugged up and cut his own penis off. So that it wouldn't be the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like there's a real lack of details there.
Yeah. Hey, David Tennant's in the other room.
Yeah.
Let's wrap
this
up.
He was until that last story.
He's gone. Yeah. All right.
Now he's running, heading back to the car.
Understandable.
No, he's running back to the UK.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Naomi Campbell, Jennifer Goodwin, Maggie Q, Morrissey, and Daniel Bryan.
106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 908.
That was not a very professional way to get into the segment, Kevin.
David Tennant was looking in the other room and just waving to people. Like the nicest person ever.
So that distracted you.
Yes.
You saw something shiny.
I was like, what's happening? Sorry.
I only know him as a podcaster, but apparently he does some acting on the side. Ladies and gentlemen, from the upcoming Amazon series Good Omens, David Tennant is in studio here.
Good morning.
Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Mr. Tennant?
I'm very, very honored to be here.
Well, we're as pleased as you are. We've been lucky enough to talk to you on the phone a couple times before, but this is your first time in the studio.
I know, this is hallowed ground. When I first came to L.A. 22 years ago, which is impossible because I'm still only 30 years old,
right.
I was very sort of nervous and didn't really know. And I found this station, I found this breakfast show, and suddenly the world was fine.
What?
Oh, wow.
Suddenly
David
I thought,
Tennant.
This is, I know, you played.
Said no one ever.
You make bad choices.
You played Bittersweet Symphony by the Verve.
Oh, sure.
Every 7 minutes?
Yeah,
I think.
Oh, yeah, that's about right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, still yeah.
Sounds right.
And I thought, I can stay here. This is good.
Well, that's
so you're my happy place whenever I come to L.A. This
oh, wow. Wow.
That is very sweet of you to say. And I do know from following your career, and we have mutual friends in the business, that you've been a radio geek for a long, long time.
I love a bit of radio, yeah.
And you've done some work for the BBC as well, right?
Well, I've done quite a lot because we have Radio 4 back there, which is sort of like NPR kind of thing. But we do like a lot of radio plays, a lot of audio drama. I love all that. Yeah,
right. And that, is that partly why you decided to finally do your own podcast? Is because you like the experience of interviews so much?
I think I like the audio medium. You know, I think I find it. There's something about it that is, it's unlike anything else. It just gets inside your head, doesn't it? And the podcast thing was a bit weird. It sort of happened a little bit by accident. I was listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
And I was listening
There was a microphone there, and it just started talking. I didn't realize they were recording.
My whole house was cute.
Something pressed play and record, and there we were. I was listening to a lot of podcasts, and I had a conversation with my agent about podcasts, and she's a big podcast fan, and we got very excited about it. And then suddenly she set up a meeting. I was literally going to go, I'm doing what? And this person's going, who can you get on your show? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't have a show. Yeah. I mean, I'll call up a couple of mates. And then it just sort of, it kind of happened to me. And it's weird, you know, it's not my skill set. I'm not a journalist. I don't know.
But you are.
Come on.
But what you're good at, though, is letting your guests talk. You talk very little on your podcast.
Well, they're much more interesting than me, aren't they?
Is it a weird dynamic? And I know we have so much ground to cover while you're here, but I'm just so fascinated with this. Is it a weird dynamic? Because almost everyone you've had on the show, almost everyone, has been an actual friend. People like Olivia Colman and people like Jodie Whittaker, people you know, John Hamm. Is it weird then to kind of start interviewing them rather than just having a conversation? I mean, do you probe more than you would if you were just at lunch?
them.
He probes at lunch like a crazy man.
Yeah. Oh, my lunchtime probing is famous.
Legendary.
Famous in showbiz.
Can't even enjoy the food.
You probe in a slightly different direction. Ah. You probe in a different hole. Can I say that?
I know you can, but I wish you wouldn't.
It's approved. It's
approved. It's a different sort of a thing. And some people, I'd say about two-thirds of the people were friends before. Mm-hmm. And they react in very different ways. Mm-hmm. Like, Jennifer Garner found it hilarious that I was interviewing her. So she would slip into interview mode and be terribly serious and terribly erudite. And then burst out laughing because I was asking her questions.
What is happening?
What's going on right now?
But I suppose you're interviewing people who are used to being interviewed, so they kind of know what the form is.
Yeah.
But then, hopefully, because you know them, you have a slightly different sort of conversation than they might have.
You've had to add people, sure, because we do interviews a lot. You've had to add people that just don't talk. Yeah. And it's frustrating.
I don't think that's been the case on David's podcast so far.
Ever?
No, I haven't. No, but then again, wow. I'm choosing people that I know are going to be okay, and if I ask someone to do it and there's any resistance at all, I just go fine, leave it.
I don't want you.
I can't bear the shame. I think anyone who turns up kind of knows what the deal is and is willing to do
it. Tina Fey.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
How did, what?
Well, I didn't really know Tina very well, but
we'd
met.
How'd that even come about?
We share a publicist,
okay,
if I may say.
So Hollywood. Just
that's who I was waving through the
oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds like your publicist needs to book our show.
Do you know what? We just discovered they're in your building. They're upstairs.
What?
Are your publicist?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Send them down every now and then.
Send them over there. Have a chat.
Again. We are clearly available for cupcakes and cookies at any moment to help.
So, David, I understand, true or false, that you are one of those lucky people in the world who has known since he was a wee lad, as you might say back home, what you wanted to do for a living. Like, there was never a decision you had to make. It just kind of hit you at, like, age 5, right?
Probably even earlier than that.
Early.
Really?
Slightly unbelievably, yeah.
I've read that you actually said to your parents, I'm going to be the doctor.
I don't know if I quite said it like that. That's passed into mythology a little bit. But I certainly was watching Doctor Who as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I know I was 3 years old because I remember the bit and I've been able to date it since.
Wow.
I saw one of the actors regenerating into another one. So that was 1974. I was 3 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
And I remember that prompted a conversation with my parents. Now, I mean, I don't know how... I don't know if I'm slightly misremembering things, contracting them over several years.
I love it. It's a great story.
It's a great story. Yeah. And I would just say go with it.
Keep going.
Just go with it.
We'll edit this.
I remember having a conversation about what actors were, and the actors were people who pretended, and they weren't actually Time Lords. They were people pretending to be.
I wonder how many people watched Doctor Who and thought the exact same thing, but of course never ended up playing Doctor Who.
Yeah, well, sure. And there's no reason
I would say most, Kevin.
Yeah, I write a lot. Yeah. I'm not great at math, but I think a staggering amount.
A large amount.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Statistically unlikely. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So is every choice you made from the time then you got into junior high school and high school, as we call it, you always worked toward, hey, I'm going to be an actor?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I had absolutely no precedence around me. I didn't know any actors. I didn't know anyone who'd become an actor. I was from Paisley. That's not somewhere actors come from. You know, I was a little sort of Scottish person with eyeglasses with Scotch tape around the... There was nothing about me that suggested I should become an actor. Exactly.
Right.
But I think because I had no precedence around me, I thought, well, why not? There's nothing to stop you becoming an actor, because I didn't really understand how difficult it is or how unlikely it is or how statistically vanishingly small the possibility of it is.
Was it difficult for you in the beginning? Was it hard to find roles, or did you have some lucky breaks early?
I was all right. I went to drama school in Scotland, and I worked in touring theatre in Scotland. That's where I started. So I did sort of one night stands doing Brecht plays in a van around the Highlands and Islands of Scotland. And I've just about managed to join the jobs up ever since. But you never feel like it's done. You never feel like you've arrived. Any sort of freelance, anything, I think, you always feel...
Yeah, but you were Doctor Who.
Right?
I mean, it all came together. You became the character you watched as a kid.
It's ludicrous, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's bonkers. Absolutely ludicrous.
But that had to give you some feeling of, okay, I'm pretty good as an actor now. As far as jobs in the future?
No. You're not factoring in the Scottish Presbyterian self-hatred.
Oh, no, I forgot about that. Okay.
Yeah. You have to get that.
That's my bad.
At all times, you're convinced that, that it's
You're not
all,
worthy.
You're not worthy, mm-hmm. that one shouldn't be there, yeah. and that there's
so
somebody about to tap you on the shoulder and say,
Are you still like the actors we hear from sometimes on this show, who as soon as a job ends, no matter how good it is, no matter how prestigious it is, no matter whether you've won an award or not, you still think, am I going to get something else? Am I finally out of jobs?
No, I'm not like that. I don't wait until the job has ended. It's in the middle of the previous job.
You're very much aware. Start freaking out?
Yeah. This is it. It's the last job I'm ever going to have. Could I retrain as a barista? Is there still time?
David Tennant is our guest here on the Kevin Beach Show. Believe it or not, he was able to get some work. It premieres next Friday, May 31st, on Amazon Prime. It looks fantastic. We have so much to discuss about Good Omens with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock.
The delightful actor David Tennant in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His latest project is called Good Omens. It premieres next Friday, May 31st, on Amazon Prime Video. Now, character Crowley is not actually the devil, right? But he is from hell?
He's a devil.
Are you tired of being typecast, David?
No, it's my Scottish Presbyterian upbringing, you see. It's coming back to help me out. He's a devil. So he's been positioned on Earth as sort of hell's representative.
So you're the PR person for Satan.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's been there since the Garden of Eden. We first meet them at the Garden of Eden, and he has a counterpoint who's Aziraphale, who's heaven's representative on Earth. So they're basically set on Earth, kind of to cancel each other out. So I'm doing some temptation. I'm sort of sorting out the Reign of Terror, things like that. Aziraphale is supposed to reset the balance.
And that's Michael Sheen?
That's Michael Sheen.
Okay.
Yeah. But as the years and the millennia go on, they discover that they can sort of help each other out.
Oh.
You know, and as they're going to cancel each other out in the end anyway, they can just have quite a nice time.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, so they become friends and enjoy everything that the mortal world has to offer.
This came from the wonderful, magical, strange mind of whom?
Of Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett.
Brilliant. Legends.
It's a novel that they wrote together many, many years ago.
In the 90s, right?
Yeah. And we're trying to get it made into a movie, or there was all sorts of sort of false starts. And Terry Pratchett, who unfortunately died quite a few years ago now, sort of said to Neil on his kind of on his deathbed, this is how Neil tells the story, that, you know, I make sure this gets made. I really want to see this get made. So Neil
not a lot of pressure.
No, not
at all. Yeah.
So Neil had to give up writing best-selling novels for a while and write 6 episodes of this show.
Wow.
And the reviews are insane.
Insanely good.
While researching, I was like, this is a Time magazine calling it a spectacle. Everyone's saying we'd be lucky for the apocalypse to look like this. I mean, the cast is also insane. I mean, it's like a who's who at times.
It's bananas. Yeah. John Hamm is in there. Francis McDormand is the voice of God, obviously.
Obviously, right?
I mean, that Jack goes without saying. Jack Whitehall's in there.
Benedict Cumberbatch, you guys.
He's the voice of Satan.
Come on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Michael McKean, is that someone you'd known before?
What, Spinal Tap? Are you kidding?
Right.
I'd never known him personally, no. No.
He's a joy, right?
Oh, he's great. Yeah. He's full of stories as well. Mm-hmm. You just want to sit at the side of the set with Michael McKean telling you stories of old Hollywood.
Amazing.
Yeah. When I watched a lot of the pre-release material, the interviews, the behind the scenes, the featurettes and stuff, this is a very big budget Amazon Prime show.
Bananas.
I mean, this looks like an Avengers movie is what it looks
it
like
really
with
does.
All the special effects and stuff. A lot of green screen for you. Tough work?
No, it's great. It's like being in the playground. Just you know, you're sort of standing there and someone. So just imagine the devil has come through the concrete floor and is 700 feet above you, roaring at you. I mean,
and that's
you're like this old trope.
Sure,
not this again.
Yeah. It's great fun. It's like being in the playground, yeah.
How was the Antichrist misplaced? I'm confused as to that one tiny plot point.
Well, it's sort of my fault. One of my jobs as the Hell's emissary on Earth is to deliver the Antichrist to the correct the correct birthing suite.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I hand it over to a slightly a not particularly clever nun who's supposed to be serving the Dark Lord Satan.
Okay.
And she just gets it wrong and the babies get switched.
Oh, no. Mistakes happen.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So we think we're tracking the Antichrist through childhood, and actually we're tracking a completely innocent little boy.
Just kidding,
and
Joe.
The Antichrist is in a little village in England about to unleash hell. Yeah.
Guys, I always talk about how there's too much TV and how can you pick things.
Yeah.
I am in on this.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And I don't say that. This is not like a BS thing. I usually just go, it's a lot of TV.
A lot of TV.
This is really, I mean, I'm really excited for it.
It turns out this is the TV,
though. Yeah, this is the only one. Everything else, blow it off.
I have a question. Six episodes?
Six.
I mean, if it's as great as we think,
well, because, but that's,
how about doing a little more?
Well, why do more when it's perfectly formed?
True.
Six perfect episodes.
I got stuff to do, Kevin. You know
and
that.
And it's a story. You're gonna have a beginning, a middle, and
I'm gonna
an
have
end.
A great time, and I'm gonna go, that's it. Wait, I want more.
We like to leave you wanting more.
Okay.
That's nice. Let me ask you a question. As a man that people are so excited to meet you. You're a star to so many people.
Oh,
you must feel that same way about certain actors. And I'm wondering, you're gonna go to Mr. Corden's show a little later.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
So you know who else is on, right?
I do.
Bradley Whitford.
I'm a little giddy.
Yes. You love The West Wing than most.
I love The West Wing.
Okay.
I think Aaron Sorkin's the sort of the greatest writer that's ever been. I think The West Wing is kind of when he was just out of his brain with brilliance.
Right.
And Josh from The West Wing is sort of my favorite television character
of all
time.
I was going to ask, who's your favorite?
Of all time.
And I'm going to be...
We're hours away from you going.
And you've never met him. You've never met him.
Now, can you play it cool? Are you good at that?
I wouldn't have thought. I what will happen is I will retreat and I'll probably be sitting on the couch on James Corden's show saying not a single word.
Really?
And he's gonna tell his friends, this dude doesn't even talk. I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah. Also Elizabeth Banks, who's phenomenally cool.
Come
as
on.
Well.
It's so a good, good couch.
Yeah.
I was gonna say sitting in the middle, I'll be on the end. I'll be perched on the end trying to get one bum cheek on the sofa.
I love that you still get starstruck. I love that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Bradley Whitford is definitely gonna do it.
Yeah.
Have you ever met Sean Connery, who has to be renowned among all Scottish actors?
Never met Sean Connery, but I did work with Billy Connolly, who's another kind of Scottish royalty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he played my father in a movie. And so we worked together for weeks. And for the whole first week, I just didn't speak to him. I just couldn't look him in the
really?
Eye.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'd been brought up. My dad used to play cassette tapes of Billy Connolly.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Bring in Billy Connolly.
Yeah. By the end, we were old chums.
Okay.
I assume that all Scottish people hang out together here in America. Like, you obviously hang out with Gerard Butler all the time, right?
All the time.
All the time. Like, you can't, get him out of your
house. What, you have a gathering place? Or what?
Yeah,
how do you see this working?
That's how I see it working. Right. You're like, it's Tuesday, pub.
A sort of underground club somewhere.
Yeah, you all kind of meet up and you talk about Scottish stuff.
Put our kilts on and strip to the waist and wrestle.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
This is better than we thought.
Let the man speak. Go on. What else?
Good Omens is the show. Amazon Prime premieres next Friday, May 31st. Mr. Tennant, it's so great to have you, and we've enjoyed it so much, but before you go, Allie is going to fire 60 seconds worth of questions.
Oh, good.
At you.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, just the first thing that comes to your mind here
are the right and wrong answers? Or can
no.
I just, okay,
no.
Yeah, okay, fine.
It's all you. 60 seconds with David Tennant.
Okay.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Oh, do you think it's weird that Tarzan has no beard? Like, what's he shaving with out there?
I've never thought of it. This is a brilliant question.
Thank you.
I really want to unpack that, but there isn't time. I can hear the clock ticking.
Correct.
You can join the cast of any TV show, past or present. Which show would
I'm
you
still
choose?
I'm thinking about Tarzan. I would be Josh Lyman's butler.
On West Wing.
Okay. West Wing. Excellent. Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or no?
Get away from me and keep them off a bed. I don't want my dog anywhere. I mean, my dog's fine, but she's very stupid. I don't want anywhere near me.
What is the best thing to come out of Scotland?
Billy Connolly.
Excellent. What was your first job?
Oh, I delivered flowers for Interflora. I got driven around and I went up to the door and went, Happy Valentine's Day!
I was
14 or something.
How many Proclaimer shows have you been to?
Oh, about 10 for me.
All right, you can bring one album to a deserted island.
Oh.
Which one?
Oh, don't. Oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Unfortunately, we have all the time in the world.
What a shame.
One album?
One album.
That's just cruel.
I know it is.
Can I bring some sort of compilation?
No, I mean, well, you like, got to pick one.
Like now a mixtape?
Now that's what they call music or whatever?
Yeah, like exactly.
That's what we call the 90s.
A mixtape. One album's just unfair.
All okay. Right.
Just well,
we're gonna, you're still stuck on Tarzan.
I'm we're going to give you a Smash Mouth and with our
oh,
thanks
no, no, no,
is
no.
What we're going to
oh,
do.
No,
oh,
no,
do.
No, I mean, no, you no, didn't no. Pick no, so you have to. Sergeant Pepper. I'll take Sergeant okay. Pepper.
All right.
Joshua Tree. I don't know. Something like that. Okay.
Oh, that's two now.
Sunshine Lee.
Next time you're in the building seeing your folks upstairs, please stop by and say hello, David Tennant.
Listen, I'm so thrilled to be here. It's been such a joy.
Is anyone nicer than David Tennant?
No.
Nope. Jesus.
Oh, he did figure one out.
Okay.
Leave it up to all Bean.
Right. I mean, technically, I think you're right.
Okay. He was delightful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Jesus or David?
David Tennant.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Remember when he was here? That was fun.
That was about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I know it's hard to, it seems like we're out of cycle, but there is a very important election. I'll say it. The most important election in our lifetime that's going on right now at KROQ.com. Who should be the president of the Zero Club? As you know, Kevin recently ran out of gas, and many, including Omar, his primary challenger, says that that disqualifies him from running the Zero Club because he doesn't understand how the Zero Club works. You're not supposed to run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to KROQ.com right now and you can vote. We're ride or die is Kevin's slogan. He is at currently 67% of the votes to stay as president of
right?
Zero Club. Our zero hero, DJ Omar Khan, is coming up in second place right now at 24%. Old Man Ruben, the out-of-nowhere surprise third-party candidate, putting the faucet on fossil fuel at 9%.
Oh, he's growing.
Voting is, I mean, he starts slow, but right? Look out, he's just going to catch fire anytime now.
He's not a shower, he's a grower.
Voting is open until tomorrow at 9 a.m., you guys. You can cast your vote today and tomorrow morning, and then we'll find out who will be the president of the Zero Club. All you do is go to KROQ.com to cast your vote. And also, I think hear the campaign ads, right, as well?
Sure.
Are up there.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, Allie, take us home for this Wednesday morning with what's happening.
Well, this seems like a lot, you guys. Moby has revealed some pretty juicy gossip in his new memoir. Then It All Fell Apart. Making out with Christina Ricci, feuding with Eminem, hanging out with childhood heroes like Joe Strummer and David Bowie. But it's when he talked about dating dating a college-aged Natalie Portman that has people talking. And by people, Natalie Portman. So here is what he says in the book. We had just finished a show in Austin, playing for about 450 people. I walked to the backstage door, sure that this was a misunderstanding or a joke, but there was Natalie Portman patiently waiting. She gazed up at me with black eyes and said, hi. He said, I was a bald binge drinker who lived in an apartment that smelled like mildew and old bricks. And Natalie Portman was a beautiful movie star, but here she was in my dressing room flirting with me. He then goes on to talk about, you know, different dates that they went on. But a later chapter details a rendezvous from 1999 when she was attending Harvard in Boston. Here's the quote. I took a taxi to Cambridge to meet Natalie. We held hands and wandered around Harvard, kissing under the centuries-old oak trees. At midnight, she brought me to her dorm room, and we laid down next to each other on her small bed. After she fell asleep, I carefully extracted myself from her arms and took a taxi back to my hotel.
That is the least sexy story ever.
Well, here's what Natalie Portman says.
Oh.
I was surprised to hear that he characterized the very short time that I knew him as dating, because my recollection is a much older man being creepy with me when I had just graduated high school.
Oh, no.
He said I was 20. I definitely wasn't. I was a teenager. I just turned 18. There was no fact-checking from him or his publisher. It almost feels deliberate that he used his story to sell his book. Was very disturbing to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not good.
Not great.
He has responded. And said that he recently read the stuff that she said, and he's sticking to it. He said, I can't figure out why she would actively misrepresent the truth about our, albeit brief, involvement. The story as laid out in my book is accurate, with lots of corroborating photo evidence. Thanks, Moby. Lewd, all this, right?
Yeah, this is ugly.
I feel like... Even if it happened, if she comes out and says it doesn't, maybe just
It puts yourself in a weird position.
Yeah.
Be quiet or kick it back or whatever. And I remember things differently, but whatever she says is fine with me.
And wouldn't you, though, if you were writing a book about a relationship, wouldn't you reach out to the person and go, listen, I'm going to include this in the book.
I'm writing a book and she's in it. Natalie Portman.
You are. Sure.
Oh, you are? Did you reach out?
Sure.
No,
of course not.
No?
He's doing it to sell books. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you mentioned the Lana Del Rey story, which I think is worth mentioning as well, because he had had her back at his apartment, and she rejected him because he's a horn dog, basically. And, I mean, that kind of came out. He at least fessed up to that one. But he just seems like problematic a little bit with his dating back in the day.
Also, like, chill out, Moby. what's going on, man?
That's the takeaway.
Yeah, like, calm down.
I mean, this is his second autobiography, too, by the way.
I guess so he's just reaching.
Yeah, maybe. I like Moby as an artist, too. I consider myself a fan of Moby, but I don't think I need this book.
Call me fabulous.
Right? Okay. This is a very odd story, but when soul legend Aretha Franklin passed away last summer, her family said, yep, no will. Although she has $80 million in her estate, there was no will. They couldn't figure out how to divvy up that estate to her kids and the family.
That gets ugly. Do they fight over it now?
Very ugly. Oh, yeah. Turns out she left behind three, including one tucked under a cushion in the living room. Several handwritten wills were found in her home nearly a year after she passed away of pancreatic cancer in August of 2018. Two of them from 2010 were found in a locked cabinet after a key to that dresser was found. So they unlocked it and were like, oh, here's two wills. And then a third one, which was from 2014, so the most updated of the wills, found under the cushions in her living room.
That's where you're supposed to put your wills, right?
Is it? Okay, yeah. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's common.
How is a lady dead a year before somebody
checks the cushions
of her cabinet? I mean, don't they have a cleaning crew in at some point since
that's
she died?
What I'm saying. Although some of the writing is hard to decipher, they appear to give assets to certain family members. So the wills were filed in court on Monday, but they're not sure if they will be legally binding under Michigan law. But wouldn't you be mad if you notice in the will it's like, and you know, cousin Joe gets my whole estate, and they're like, no, not legally binding. Yeah. No, it definitely says it right there. But I think this is again one of those times where it's a talking point. It begs the question: do you have your will done? No matter what age you are, Luke Perry didn't think he was going to have a stroke and pass away. It seems like people are like even recently. So many people.
She was worth $80 million.
$80 million.
Also, you would think that would
cause
a will to be done.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, she did three.
She did, yeah.
She did.
Do any of you have wills?
I do.
You do?
Yeah. Well, Kevin? And also because the kid's coming. So. Mm-hmm.
You have a will too, okay. Allie?
Yeah.
I do.
I have no one on Allie's, though, which is sad. I know you said earlier not to make the joke.
How'd that go?
It was so good.
Was it?
This one, I was like, this is my last one.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, yes!
Bean?
Yes!
Yes.
Yes!
Yes.
Yes!
No, okay. Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I have a will.
What? I have a question. Why would you not have a will?
Because people want to put off the inevitable thought that they're going to die. That's why.
It's so dumb.
It is, but people always think that's way in the future. Nobody wakes up and expects to die that day.
Yeah, but it's not
except
like it's
for
the
Bean.
It's not the
Bean thinks that every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not the longest process. Like, you could just get, like, you're going to do it anyway. Get it out of the way. That way, when you die, not everyone's like, where does this go? Like,
I mean, what you're saying makes sense.
I know, but it just seems so dumb.
Yeah.
I think
Call in now if you think it's okay that you've never...
Don't need calls.
Oh, I guarantee majority of people our age don't have one. For sure they don't. Maybe, you know, if you have kids, that becomes, you know, a little bit quicker you do it. But
yeah.
I don't think people younger than 50 have wills.
I don't know.
I guess maybe if you don't own a house, like own a property or something, maybe it hasn't come up in your mind. But if you own a property, it's like it becomes a nightmare for your entire family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you care? You're dead, right?
No, don't call. I thought you had to call, but don't call.
No calls.
It would be a bad time.
No calls. Scary Spice. What's happening with her eyeballs, you guys?
Uh-oh.
So she took to Instagram to shoot down a report that claimed that she had gone blind and this comes up often to her, like, hey, did you go blind? But clarified that she did, in fact, recently go blind in her right eye and now suffers severe blurriness in the other one.
Oh, no.
She said, just to be clear, I was not okay, and this has never, ever happened to me before. I was in a lot of pain, very, very scared. She went to an eye specialist in London, diagnosed by an eye specialist with severe iritis in my right eye and uveitis in her left eye. So she has to do these heavy-duty eye drops and other medication to keep the eye's inflammation under control. But what? All of a sudden, you're just blind in an eye?
And she's diagnosed with bonkers in both eyes.
I don't know if that's true.
This does not bode well for the big Spice Girls reunion concert next month.
I mean,
she's going to fall off the stage.
Well, you don't have to have bad eyesight to do that, Bean. It's just, it's crazy.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I don't like the fact that you're just hanging out all willy-nilly, then you're blind in your left eye.
Blind Spice.
Oh.
I mean,
sorry.
It works.
Right?
Yeah.
Or Patch Spice.
Blindy Spice, or No Vision Spice. That's a little more specific.
It's wordy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll keep working on it.
Okay, right. Yeah, just workshop some stuff.
Good luck with that.
Some birthdays for you guys. Morrissey, Daniel Bryan, Maggie Q, Jennifer Goodwin, and Naomi Campbell. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. 5 p.m. commercial-free hour is happening thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers.
Kevin, what about Kevin?
that was much rougher.
Tomorrow morning we have Get Up On This, where Jensen tells us about something that we should know about already. We also have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast, Luau, and Beach Party, and we've got your passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Godzilla King.